you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. I just made it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian Hammer Jackson. That's right, it is. We talk about subjects that what's on people's mind. If it's not on your mind, I'll talk about subjects that are put on your mind. That's what I do. I'm annoying. We are global. Like I said, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. That means we are global. I just looked at the ratings, and we're okay. Thank you, Canada. Thank you, Canada. Thank you, Italy. Thank you, North Korea. I know they're our enemy, but they listen to me. Or is it South Korea? Whatever. Thank you, Koreans. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to talk about Mexican mafia members. They're running a profitable, illegal Los Angeles casino from behind bars. Yeah. You know, at first you hear about it, then you go, what? The Mexican mafia running casinos? What the hell? They're criminals. They're thugs. They're killers. They're kidnappers. They're sex offenders. And that brings me to Trump. I mean, when you got twice... This guy was twice, you know what I'm talking about, as impeached as a president. He has a lot of indictments going on. And guess what you're going to do? Normal people run from the hills. They go to Mexico. This guy runs for president. We know the guy's dirty. We know he's dirty. We know he's wrong. We know that this guy goes to Ohio with a train derailed. Poison gas everywhere. And then he takes the label off of water and puts his label on it for Trump water and starts giving it to the people. You know, what kind of guy does that? This is a guy I admire. But what kind of guy does it? He has balls, but he has no morals. He has no scruple. He has no empathy. This guy is a sociopath. I love him. We need more guys like that. Maybe I can relate to him. See, you know what? If... It's not a lie if you believe it, right? See, that's what makes a lie a good lie. You got to believe the shit that you're saying. You can't tell people shit and you start laughing in the middle of it because people will say, oh, fuck you. To this day, the Republicans think that what happened at the coup at the Capitol was a bad day. It's a tourism day. It's a bad day. They didn't think it's a coup. They didn't think they were going into government. People got killed. Nah, the Republicans say, it's a bad day. And if you believe it's a bad day, it's a bad day. 602, you're live on air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 602!
I'm in the building, sir. Good morning, Hammer.
Good morning. How are you doing, man?
Oh,
okay. You sound like you're on
the...
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, the celebrities in the studio, Pastor Don Jr. with the winning team, everybody. There he is right
yes,
there.
Yes, sir. I'm calling the team that's in it. Right now. That's what I'm doing. He was out there and sending out text messages. But, yeah, I'm
hey.
Here, brother.
All right. I know you are, brother. I got you. Amen, brother. I got you. I just got to do my thing, if you don't mind. But I got you.
Oh, no problem.
I got you. Well, you know, somebody asked me. Sometimes they're trying to find me. Usually 10 years. I've been on air. I've been on the air more than 11 freaking years. 11 years, my friend. Thank you, man. Thank you very much. I've interviewed senators, congressmen, musicians, well-known musicians. I can't even name as many musicians. If you're a fan of the show, you know what we interview. Scientists, whores. I love the whores.
Yeah.
The whores love me. They better lower their prices. Here's a budget. They going on. The whores love me. There's nobody rocks their airwaves like the Hammer. That's me. You can go to Blog Talk.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. You go to Blog Talk and you get the same. Not me. Yeah. You know, somebody says, hey, Hammer, I could do a show like you. You can't do a show like you because you're not me. You could do a show. Exactly,
correct.
Right?
100%.
It's like Pastor Don Jr. I can't do what he does. The man's a creator. The man's a promoter.
Amen.
A marketeer. The man makes thugs into stars.
But
I can't. But
right.
I can't do what you do. So I guess people tune in to see what kind of shenanigans I'm up to within my little crazy mind. Well, it was I get messages and I used to read them. I only read the bad ones because people believe bad ones. They don't believe the good shit. Shut up, Hammer. Yeah, right, Hammer. Hammer, I love you. Nobody loves you, Hammer. But they believe the bad shit. You know what I mean? They believe the bad shit.
So
I used to read
definitely.
Them. And you got to have a thick skin. You got to have lizard skin to come into this studio because you don't know what I'm going to throw at you, and I will throw shit at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
This is—it's like I got a show to do, so I'm going to make you part of the show.
Amen.
So I get these letters. I get these letters, and there's one that got to me. It goes, Hammer, I used to listen to your show, and they had the word "used to" in caps. But you're not on half the time anymore. You used to be on all the time and everything. I say, yeah, things happen. Things do. I'm a working man. After I get off the show, I got three scripts I'm writing, and I'm going to do a movie. Yeah. People don't know my background. My background is in entertainment. My background is that I directed a feature film and that Orion Pictures bought. I mean, I did acting, whatever. See, nobody's interested in that bullshit. You know, we don't care, Hammer. We don't care. Get me on the air. I got things to do. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about me. Not about you. And I understand that. So we made this show for you guys, you know. We have this thing about us. If it wasn't for you, there is no us, meaning U.S. So if there's no you, there's no us. So the show is about you guys, what you want to talk about. Who gives a shit about me? So I just said, you know, I try to do the best I can. I'm here when I can. Please follow me. And I'm still doing the show. All right.
Amen.
You know, like I said, the title of the show today is Mexican Mafia Members Run Profitable Illegal Los Angeles Casinos from Behind Bars. We have had people behind. I have had people call me collect from prison. I swear to God, on the air, from prison.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, can I call from prison? I can't take a call. Well, you know, we'll see what we get. They get through. They go through their girlfriends and they finally get through because I can't accept no collect call. So I'll get this nice little voice on there going, hi, Hammer. I go, ooh, I know what you want. Yeah, darling. Well, my husband's on the other end. What? And, you know, he's from prison. What? You go, don't try to bait me like that. How long's he in for? Yeah. It's like, Hammer, he's doing life. I go, good. What time should I come over? But anyway, I'm not the good guy. You want good guys, they're all around. I'm not a good guy. I try to do the right thing. I try. being doing the right thing doesn't necessarily make you a bad guy or a good guy. You do the right thing. And it's hard to do the right thing because there's things that will get in your way, like girls will send you titty pics. And it's like, that, you know, I know it's wrong for me to look at the titty pic, but damn! So, you know, I have to send them a picture back, so I sent them a picture of another girl that gave me a titty pic. Look at her titties. That's a war. All right, so we're going to do the show. And we have had mob people on the show. We have had prisoners on the show. We have one guy doing life right now and wanted me to get him out of jail. I am very popular.
How are you
going to
get him out of jail?
He claims,
but how are you going to get him out?
He claims he did not do it. He claims he did. Like everybody in jail, Pastor Don Jr.,
okay.
Everybody in jail, they're innocent. They're innocent. So he claims his innocence, and he says, I need your help. Hammer, I'm going, oh, Dale. And I got him in contact with the witness program, blah, 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 blah. Then they come back at me, and they're pissed off at me because I remember one dude, he was a pastor, and his job was to the innocent program that to get brothers out of jail. They're innocent. So we're working together, and then all of a sudden, a week later, he comes out, and he's all mad at me. He goes, you mother. I go, what the hell's going on? You're a clergy. He goes, this guy's guilty of sin. I go, hey, the Lord says you got to forgive. I mean, Jesus is in jail because every time I talk to these guys, they found the Lord. The guy was pissed. I have no reason.
I know.
I think Jesus is doing life. Everybody sees him there. What did Jesus do?
Oh, man, that's crazy. Yeah, man.
I mean,
come on
what?
Now.
Okay. Well, no. It says,
like, wow.
I killed ten people and my wife. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But I found the Lord. Oh, okay. What's he doing there? What's he doing?
You got me on that one.
He did. He saw. Yeah. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But I talk to everybody in the walks of life and a lot of celebrities. And my biggest one.
Hey, Amber. Hey, I got one of my OGs, the original guy.
You got an OG?
On the AO.
Talk to me about,
yes.
Talk to me about
OG.
Your OG. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he's doing a lot of stuff. He's changing the world. He's helping the community. He's out of Texas. He's really a guy that I definitely want to bring into the conversation. I don't have the power of the board. You got the power. I need to go over the
okay.
Line,
have I talked to him before?
Yes, you have.
Is this OG?
He
OG the one that? Huh?
Yeah, William Guidance. I mean, he goes by original Guidance, but it's William J. But
Let me let him in. Welcome to my crib,
right.
OG.
Hey, what's going on? Happy to be here, brother. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to see you. No, nothing going on but the rent. You know the deal.
Hey, man. More to it.
You know the deal. Oh, it's good to hear your voice. I loved your song. I didn't get into the studio. You had two songs, I remember. One, you have a country song that I really want to hear.
Absolutely. I've got quite a few. I'll send them over.
Yeah, so you have my email, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, please do, because I'm going to play them on the air. Man, I love your sound. I really do. You got some talent there. Maybe you can help some young people. We got so many young people with their heads in their asses, man. I can't stand talking to them. I can't stand talking to them. They're stupid.
Yes, it's very difficult.
Yeah,
it's very difficult. The level of respect has kind of gone out the window, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's no respect anymore. You know, we got that blurred line that there's no crazy anymore. You know what? If we see a crazy person, we can't say he's crazy. We have to say, oh, that poor child, he just has no sense, and we must lift him up. No, the boy crazy. He just burned down the house. We gotta call people for what they are. You know what I mean? I talk to a lot of crazy. I had people threaten me, call me nigger, wanting to kill my girlfriend and all this stuff on this show. I'll find you, Hammer. I go, oh, I'm not hard to find. I'm as crazy as you, motherfucker.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't want to go.
Like,
you know, my defense is you act crazier than they do and they run. You go, man, he's crazy. You're damn right. I'll burn your puppy.
Yeah. It's something else, man. They push the right buttons and they get the right responses and they don't know how to act.
Right. Right. Like, come up and run up on me. Yeah. Well, anyway. OG's in the studio. We got Pastor Don Jr. CEO's in the studio. I'm in the studio.
Hey, what's going on, Pastor Don?
Man, I'm feeling good today, man. I'm making it happen, bro. Paperwork, and I'm texting. So, hey, we getting it done today. No excuses.
Hey.
No days off. So, hey, let's get it moving, man. I'm calling some other numbers here too, so y'all be ready.
You know, I don't know what to think about Snoop Dogg. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing him on my TV. what's he doing, man? What's he doing at the Pro Bowl and all this stuff? I don't know what to think of Snoop anymore. I remember Snoop the Pimp. I remember Snoop the OG. I remember Snoop the Dog. I remember Snoop the Crip. I don't know Snoop the Kiss the Babies. I don't know the Snoop.
Welcome to CEO Snoop. You know, he bought Death Row Records, and now you got to handle it a little bit differently.
Oh, seriously? I didn't know he did.
Yeah, he bought Death Row Records so he could buy all of his masters back. I did believe this sometime last year. And ever since then, he's really been pushing the brand to grow and be a part of the community. I know a little bit about that. I'm trying to do the same with my brand, you know, become a household name like Nike.
Wow. Well, nothing wrong with that, man. You're multimillionaire. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you're hanging with Martha Stewart. I mean, I know she's an OG. She's been in jail. She served some time. So it's not like she's innocent.
It goes way back with them, too, though. I mean, I was doing some research on it. I had no idea that they've been real good for us for a long time.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I thought it was business, you know, and marketing, but no, they've been vibing for a while.
Wow. You know who else I don't get? I don't get 50 Cent. I don't get him anymore. The brother shows up in a tie, and he's up there. He was in a mall hugging people. The man been shot 150 times. Bullets don't penetrate him.
Now, Curtis Jackson is a television executive. He's not.
I know, right, Curtis? No more, no more 50 yeah. Cent. It's Curtis now. Wow.
Yeah, he's hosting now. Stepping Stones, you know, you get to see what these folks were really interested in before they got to where they were. You know, a lot of people in the industry, they're doing it because they got talent and they can make money at it, you know, but their heart's intent is usually somewhere else. And it shows up.
Yeah, but, you know, the man's been shot. How many times the man was shot? At least 50 times.
Nine.
You test out your gun on him.
Yes.
You know, like, does it work? Let me shoot 56. Okay, yeah, it works. What's going on? I mean, damn. I mean, do these people...
Product of his environment.
Is it? My brother, I'm going to tell you something. What happened to the gangs, man? Are they just getting too old? They say, you know what? I'm in jail or I'm dying jail or I got out. I'm just too old to mess with that shit anymore. Is that what's going on here? I'm just too old. Time's too precious to mess with that shit.
I think it has to do with the game not being the same anymore. It used to be a code and a moral compass, you know, things you did and didn't do. And now everybody's a target. It doesn't matter what you've contributed, if you're the OG, if you're the bottom of the totem pole, the top of the totem pole. Everybody just wants that power, and they'll help overthrow their own leaders, you know. So I can see, you know, a little bit of the senseless violence being a lot to do with a lot of the OGs stepping back because there's just no code anymore. Morality and loyalty are dying.
I know. They you know, if you watched, this goes back to The Godfather in the 70s, and there was a line in The Godfather where they were trying to divide territories and whatever. And then there was a line in there going, let's give it to the niggers. You know, let's get the drugs. Let's let the drugs to the niggers. They have no morals. They have no passion. They have no rules. They're animals. And the mafia.
You know, the government played guilty to that, right?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Well, Reagan did. Reagan.
Yeah, but recently the CIA and FBI played guilty to a lot of things.
Are you serious? Serious?
Absolutely. Like, wow. Including the genocide on African Americans.
Right.
Guilty.
Right.
They were found guilty of that. Same
I was
thing
watching.
Hitler did.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching Boys in the Hood. I got into that and watching it. And there's one scene in there where Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah. Well, he was talking to one of the kids, and he took him to a lot. And he was explaining that, you know, we burn our own neighborhood when we riot and shit, and they're not building shit back up. You know, the shit's been just down. And then I was with him until he said this. And then he said, well, there's a reason why there's a liquor store in every corner in the hood. I know when I'm going into the hood. I don't even have to be in a state. I could be in a state called Virginia. And I know when I'm getting in the hood because the first thing I see is bail bondsman. Okay, I'm in the hood. I'm in the hood.
Strategic placement.
Exactly. I'm in the hood now. But he said something in his speech, and he said, the liquor store in every corner. And I said, okay. And I don't know if it's just me. Nobody's forcing me to drink the liquor. Well, you got a liquor store in the corner? Okay, fine. But when we start making excuses why we're alcoholics or why we're not working or why we're drunk and because somebody placed a liquor store in our corner, I'm out. We don't have to drink that. I see liquor stores all around. Am I wrong here? I mean, help me out, guys.
No, not at all. I stop when I want to.
Yeah, it's, exactly.
But you got to keep in mind, it's a big business, and with it being a big business, everybody's susceptible to it because everybody does.
Right.
And alcohol is the only drug that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and no matter how bad it is, they don't have people like, you know, you can go out and have a drunk driving accident and next day go take some classes and get your license right back. They're very
right,
next day.
Right. Right. Well, you know, we have a attorney general here in California called Gaston. Let's just call it Gaston, close enough. He don't like to see people in jail. Now, let me tell you something. This is true. This is all true. They raised the limit of theft. And when I say that, it's that you can go into whatever store you want to go. And if you could steal up to $5,000, then it's still a misdemeanor. They raised it from $3,000 to $5,000 now because they didn't want anybody in jail because of the pandemic. So I could go into any store, take $5,000 worth of shit, $4,999.95. Woo! I just made it. I could steal that shit. And I will get in California. It's a misdemeanor, and I would serve no time. I would put nothing in jail. They'll just give me a ticket. It's a ticket. It's a ticket. Now, what kind of message am I sending? It's a ticket. Wait, 1 second.
The same message they're sending with the count.
Exactly. 111, you're live on air with Brian Hammer. Jackson, 111.
What can I set you straight on today, Brian? I know you need me.
Sarge, I miss you, man. Ladies and gentlemen.
Man, I can't never find you, man. I look for you every day, and half the time you ain't up there.
Well, the cops are looking for me right now, so I'm laying low.
That explains it. I knew it. You rogue.
That's about a white, you know, some Karen.
I knew, they was looking for you behind, man. That's why I was getting all these phone calls and suggestions about who I knew.
Those are references. Do you know Hammer? No, I don't know the damn who. Good to see you, Sarge. Sarge, let me
good
introduce
to hear
you
from
too.
You, sir. How are you feeling today? Is everything all right?
Hey, I'm feeling good. How do I sound? Do I sound okay?
You sound your usual puckish self, shall I say.
Puckish? The respect. Wow. The respect that
I
noticed
the word. I didn't say puckish. I said puckish.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Hey, and neither my friends. You just see what the enemies call me. Sarge, I want to introduce you to Pastor Don Jr., CEO with the winning team, and we got OG and Guidance in the studio today. Everybody, this is Sarge. Sarge has a colorful background. He used to be a cop, so everybody hide your shit.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Under no circumstance on God's green earth would I ever have become a police officer under today's circumstances. No bloody way.
Amen. Yeah.
No way.
A war out there. It's a war,
no,
man.
That was before when I was up there, but at least they didn't throw you under the bus for doing your job.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
know
what?
That's the reason I wouldn't want to be a cop today, man, because of this insane atmosphere around the police. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Amen.
Yeah, but that blue coat has to go, though.
True story.
Don't you think, Sarge? I mean,
say what?
That blue coat of theirs, of the cops, man, I mean, they're just out there hunting people down, beating people down and everything, and they see the shit, and they just shut their mouth.
Okay. And I've told you countless times, Brian, there ain't no way I'm accounting this criminal activity by the police.
You're
okay? A cop who commits a crime is not a police officer. At that point, he is a criminal.
Yes, I agree.
So if police officers are doing things like that, they are criminals. Now, it's up to the people to police their police. That's why the primary, as I told you a million times, the primary authority in the constitutional system is number one, we the people, number two, the sovereign states, and number three, the federal government. So the people have to do their job and make sure their government is governing properly. Stop voting for corrupt politicians who allow corrupt police officers to have free reign.
Well, it's easier said than done because you got your own you know, in California, I can speak to California, Sarge. I know you're one of the good ones. In California, we got sheriffs who have their own gangs. They got their own tattoos, man. They do. They got their own.
Division of LAPD. I mean, look at Rampart's in LAPD. Look at Precinct 77, New York. Look at the Shakespeare scandal in the Chicago Police Department. I'm aware of all these things. What I am saying is the people have to make the politicians who are in charge of these people accountable for their criminal actions. If you don't do it, you'll get more of it because the authority that goes with being a police officer lends itself to people who have corrupt characters and are easily corrupted.
Okay, but what about
you can't turn a blind eye to the police doing it and then not expect it to happen.
Okay, now what about you think police officers should be sued? You think the citizens should sue, like, you know what I mean, for harassment and shit like that? I mean, we knocked down that there.
I think it's really more appropriate to be able to sue the city or the state that employs them because their authority comes from them. And is it cities or the states or the governmental entity's job to supervise them properly to ensure they're not doing it? Now, if you can throw an individual police officer under the bus, you can never have institutional accountability. And their authority, look, when I was a police officer, I had authority. I didn't have a lot of power because a lot of people think cops got lots of power. No, they don't. Not when they're ready to throw you under the bus. You ain't got no power. You're just another chump, another pawn in the scheme. But they do have a lot of authority. They got the authority to make arrests. They got the authority to serve warrants. They have the authority to detain you. They have a lot of authority, okay? And the problem with a lot of cops is they get to thinking instead of being a police officer, they are the police. And that's where they get badge heavy and they get into trouble.
See, you know what?
I had authority that was lent to me by the people of the state of Illinois for the time period that I was a police officer. I no longer have it, I no longer want it, and I don't need it.
Right. But, you know, Sarge, there are some people who don't deserve the badge. I'm one of them. When I was in college, there was a job board. All this is true. And I looked up there going, well, I need some money. And I go, police officer, tap this cop. So I go in there. They run a background check. You know, I never did anything, right, that they could track back to me. But anyway, I never did anything, right? They were stupid enough to give me a badge and let me drive a car and everything. And I have to wonder.
Do you have to attend any kind of a training academy?
None. No training. It was like, Mr. Jackson, I go, yes. We did the background check. Did you find anything? I even had the nerve to ask the guy, did you find anything? He goes, what?
That's amazing. And I worked in Chicago with a very professional University Police Department, the University of Illinois at Chicago Police Department. And that department was so professional. They were like a mini Chicago Police Department. They were very professional. They were very good. I mean, and their training standards were the same as any law enforcement agency in the state of Illinois or higher. A lot of them were ex-cops from Chicago and other agencies. The police chief of police at the time I was working was a former Chicago police deputy chief, and they were very professional.
Well, my boss, my boss was an alcoholic. So he didn't give a fuck.
That's not unusual in police work, I got to admit.
Exactly.
Alcoholic ain't unusual.
You know what I mean? So he gave me the code.
Now, the question
code
is, did his alcoholism significantly affect his work?
You're damn right. He hired me.
Well, I rest. Well, you can rest your case.
Come on, man. I'm like, wow.
There's just some people who are not mature enough to take on responsibilities and realize what a responsibility it is when you're a campus cop.
Now, you know that we went over this at length with these Memphis cops. They were hired under relaxed standards, okay?
Right.
In the interest of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They had one of them who was still under lawsuit for having abused the prison and was a corrections officer. The issue had not been resolved yet they hired him anyway. Now, it would have been different if they hired him after there was a finding that he was not guilty of prisoner abuse, but they didn't. They hired him even though he still had it hanging over his head.
Well, at that time, Sarge, to be honest, it was one of those affirmative action days. You know, we got a black cop. You know what I'm trying to say? You represent the 1%. So there was a lot of political bullshit why they hired me, even though, you know, I was not right. My thing was, I was supposed to, simple job. Listen, Mr. Jackson. Yes, you may call me Officer Jackson. He goes, stop. You go into the booth. People will drive their car. And you tell them that they cannot park there unless they have the sticker. That was a simple task. Simple. This woman comes in with a short mini dress, no underwear, big titties. I said, this is the test.
And you were just gone, weren't you?
I you know what? I took my
brain
badge off.
Brain went to shut down, and the little head took over all the
thinking. I was just not meant to be in law enforcement.
You guys know what the sheriff is, don't you? You know who the sheriff is, right?
What do you mean?
In any county.
Okay.
You know, the sheriff is
the county.
An elected law
cop.
Enforcement official for a county, right?
Right.
There you go.
Sheriff. Now, the sheriff can deputize any citizen in his jurisdiction. And when they raise their hand, they are imbued with all the authority of the sheriff. Like, they, you know, posses and serving warrants and all that other stuff. As long as the sheriff gets some citizens together in a posse and he deputizes them, guess what? They are, at that point, deputy sheriffs. Now, the reason for that is that it is assumed they're going to be under very close supervision while they are convened for the purposes for which the deputy needs their immediate assistance. You know, you raise posses in an emergency. But when the emergency is over, you disband the posse. You don't keep it there permanently.
Yeah.
See,
well,
sounds to me like you're posseized and they didn't get rid of your behind.
It was allegations. Mm-hmm. Allegations of sexual harassment. And I fought that because there was no harassment whatsoever.
When they need people in an emergency in these counties, especially we've got small sheriff's departments, and they need a lot of people in emergency, like to search for people, like search and rescue or something like that, or missing escaped prisoners from a prison. It used to be really common, even well into the 20th century, like in the 60s and 70s,
right,
the sheriffs just raised posses and deputized them.
Right. I should have deputized people just for fun, just low lives. I should deputize the homeless. You are now a deputy. They don't manage themselves.
Wow.
You know, it's just
nowadays. You know, if sheriffs who do that kind of thing risk all kinds of possibility to criticism. Oh, you can't do it if they haven't been to the academy for 10 years or something like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. I mean, right now, I'd say the need for posses might be greater than ever, given what's going on in law enforcement and the way these prosecutors won't prosecute people. And like you just were talking about, people can walk into a store and steal up to $1,000 worth of merchandise.
Up to five in California.
Civil breakdown of civil society as a result of this insanity.
Can you imagine? I could steal up to $5,000 in a store and get a ticket as a misdemeanor. Anything over $5,000, then it's a felony, and then they take my ass to jail.
And
so I make sure it's like $4,995.
Look what Washington D.C. just did. They got 138% increase in carjacking. So what is their response? To lower the penalties for carjacking.
Right.
Oh, wow.
I noticed I didn't say, well, you know, maybe it might not be a good idea to increase them, but to lower them in the midst of a crime wave, the people who did that need to be taken out and strung up from the highest lamppost by a lynch mob. Yes, I said it.
Uh-oh, you used the word L word. I'm going to get a lot of brothers in this house. Did he just say lynch? Yeah, I hear you.
By a lynch mob, yeah.
I hear you.
The politicians who would dare suggest such a thing need to be strung up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Brian, I heard, listen to your show, and you're talking about lynching and stringing up people.
Even Brian couldn't go along with this one.
I know. I get the blame on that.
Even
Biden,
the city council in D.C. has got to be insane.
Know what? We have a lawless country. As of right now, I'm going to tell you something. We got a lawless country. We really do. I mean, we got white supremacists running around loose, and we got all this other people, militias. Everybody's getting into militias. We got a president that'll say, kick his ass. I mean, a former president. Speaking of which, criminals. I don't know why I transitioned this. Okay, listen, everybody. We got a great show. We got the talented guidance here, OG here. We got the talented Pastor Don Jr., CEO at the Winning Team. We got Sarge here, who is so full of information, it's unbelievable. These are the people you want to talk to, not me. So if you'd like to come into the studio, they make sense. Here we go. The number is 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number that your voice will be heard around the world. That's the number that will take you global. We're going to, as we talk with our subject and we talk about other topics, we are still mindful, whatever it is. I went to public school, that we do have entertainment today. We do have some songs from OG. You're going to love this guy. You're going to love him. He's our he's our special musical guest today. How's that? That's what I'm going to do. He's our special musical guest today. There you go. OG guidance right there.
Right there.
Man, you're becoming like Stephen Colbert or what's his name, Jimmy Farrell or the other. All right.
More like Saturday Night Live, but yeah. I love Stephen Colbert, man. I like his humor. I really do. Hey, well,
he's not even funny anymore. He used to be kind of funny, but not anymore.
Yeah. You know,
he's become an ideologue and tiresome scold.
Yeah.
He's a tiresome scold. He's not funny anymore.
Well, I can't watch.
Now you
want to
see somebody that has got his edge back? Chris Rock got his edge back. He got his mojo back, baby. Now, that's funny.
Do you really? I don't know. Chris Rock, I mean, they paid him $40 million to talk about Will Smith. And I didn't see...
But that's the very end of the show, man. No, he didn't. That
yeah,
was the only
I know. I never thought he was... I never thought Chris Rock was funny. I never... You know, I like Chris, but... I would hang out with Chappelle than I would hang out with Chris.
Well, Chappelle is the sin qua non, man. He is the comic talk these days, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. But Chris did a thing that I did like when he was saying the difference between niggas and black people. when he says Ed is the funniest shit. He goes, you cannot have shit when you have niggas around you. You get a color TV and that shit's gone the next day because the niggas come in and they'll steal your shit. It was the funniest thing. I'll try to find it. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, I'm not get your ass by the police is still a classic.
But did you hear the one with Chappelle when he called the white
Rock.
People?
That's Chris Rock.
Yeah, Chappelle did one when he called the white people had their last name niggers. They were the niggers, and he did a bit on that. It was a funny thing. Do you remember? Hello, niggers.
Oh, that was
wild. Did you ever watch that
Chappelle
TV
was
show
the milkman.
On FX called?
Yeah, he was a milkman. You're right. He's a milkman.
Did you ever watch that TV show on FX called Atlanta?
No, I never watch FX. No.
No, not yet.
Okay, what's
it's
not
a good show. I've seen it. It's a very good show.
Did you really?
It's quirky.
Wow.
It is. Sometimes it's flat out brilliant. Now, there are two episodes you ought to watch. One is called Rich Wigger, Poor Wigger, and that came out in the third season. And the other one, was Teddy Perkins, which came out in the second season, I think.
Right.
And it is the gothic take on a Michael Jackson-like figure in a haunted house. It is brilliant, not just good. It's brilliant. And then you got another one called BAN. I think it was Black Atlanta Network. It was like some fictional black network that was interviewing this guy called Paperboy, who just got nominated for the Academy Award for his movie Cosby. You know, this guy, he's kind of a stout black, very dark-skinned black guy. He's a great actor. I mean, fantastic. And he plays a regular on the series Atlanta, this aspiring rapper called Paperboy.
Hmm.
And they were interviewing him for this TV show. It is so funny, this interview TV show. It is so funny. You got to see it. It's called BAN. And at the very end of it, remember, this show came out in 2016. There is a cartoon that eerily presages what happened to George Floyd.
Oh.
A little cartoon about how a guy who's trying to steal this sugar cereal gets busted by a security officer who pins him down by putting his knee on his neck. And there are kids standing by who are complaining about the officer with his knee on the neck. And it came out in 2016.
Oh, shit.
Atlanta was one of the most quirky and brilliant and unpredictable TV shows I have ever seen.
It reminds me of Living Color. Now, that was a pioneer, man. Living Color? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they had – oh, yeah. Well, I like that very much. That was one of my favorite shows.
The Wayans brothers, man. They did.
But then another recurring figure in Atlanta – who was the girlfriend of the main black Donald Glover. You know who Donald Glover is, right?
Yeah. Is he still alive?
He's a writer, producer, director, actor. He was you know, central to the series. And he was, of course, a recurring figure as the
manager. You're not talking about Danny Glover. You're not talking about Danny Glover.
No, Donald Glover.
Oh, okay.
He's a young
man, heard of him. Okay.
Relatively
okay.
young man.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
He's doing this. He's the manager of this aspiring rapper named Paperboy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this girlfriend who's half German and half African-American. Now, the actor who portrays her is Zazie Beetz. You know who she is, don't you? Zazie Beetz is the one who was in Deadpool, the black girl.
Yeah,
she's
I know.
Really
yeah.
quite hot. Anyway.
Hey, did you ever know? Wait a minute, before you go, I'm going to listen to your story.
Zazie Beetz is actually half German. Her father was German. Her mother was a black American. She was raised in Germany. She speaks German and everything else. I mean, culturally, she's German and American at the same time. She speaks English without any accent, and she speaks perfect German. Anyway, they had one of the episodes in the series was she goes back to Germany to celebrate Oktoberfest, you know, because it's a big deal with Germans. And, you know, she wanted to get back in touch with her roots and all that. So they went back to Germany to celebrate Oktoberfest. And the whole thing revolves around her dealing with all of her German relatives and friends and all this stuff, just like the real Zazie Beetz actually did. and Donald Glover's bemusement over some of these cultural habits. It was another great episode.
Huh. I ought to check this out. Okay. Wait just a second. I think we got an announcement. Hold on.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, oh, you know what?
Hello, Melissa.
You're something else. Hello.
Melissa, everybody. Melissa.
How is everybody?
You got OG here, you got Sarge here, and you
got
great. Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. How everybody doing?
Nice.
There you go, the beautiful Melissa.
Nice. I knew I thought I heard Pastor Don, CEO Jr.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
In the house.
Don't ever forget that name. Remember I had to sue to you one day about that name?
I know. I
over
won't.
And over.
Careful.
No.
Very mm-hmm. careful. Hey, in my defense, I smoked a joint.
Did you?
You know, I'm going to tell
you
something.
What do you mean a joint? You mean multiple joints?
He probably did.
You know, weed is a lot stronger than it was before. When I was a kid, I used to go to Willie. I'm just going to say Willie. We always use the word, two words. We go to the go-to, Willie and Bobo. And I used to have to make four calls. I'd go, hey, Willie, I need some shit. He goes, okay. I got you, Brian. And Willie used to make, I know a guy, I know a guy, I know a guy, I know a guy. He'd go down the line. By the time I get my weed, I got nothing but dirt and sticks. Because people will take, they would pinch shit down the line. Oh, you know, yeah, nigga about this. And they take a little thing, they take a little pinch. And I feel like Charlie Brown on the Halloween when he just got a rock. I got sticks and dirt. That's all I got. But when I did get my weed, it is nothing like the weed now that they have the dispensary. That shit, strong shit.
You
really,
have not used weed today because nobody. I've talked to Brian. When
not
he's
today.
Indulged.
Not
this is
today.
Not the Brian is indulged.
Brian,
it's early somewhere.
Of marijuana,
the
when I started smoking, was about 4-5%. Today, it is anywhere, like you said, between the shop. Between 50 and 90% THC. You're damn right it's strong.
It is. Mm-hmm. Hey, Sarge, did you smoke some weed, Sarge? Well, you got some dark.
And I used to love smoking weed before I became a police officer. Are you kidding? Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Wow,
but look
at
here,
that.
When I became a police officer, I had to give it up.
Yes. Well, when was the last time you smoked some weed, Sarge? I mean, this is 2023 now.
1980, something like that.
Oh, when you start going to 19, we know it's been.
I enjoyed it immensely. I ain't no Bill Clinton. I enjoyed it immensely. I realized
I'm sorry,
I had to give it up.
Yeah.
And I gave it up.
Pastor Don?
Did he just say that?
Exactly.
I have a question. Did he just say what? That's all I heard.
What?
I'm moving, I'm doing stuff. He's an ex-cop that loves smoking weed. I'm like, wow.
You say what now?
He's an ex-cop that loves smoking weed. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, an ex-cop.
I didn't smoke it while I was a police officer. I did smoke it while still in the academy, though.
Oh, wow.
Once I got out, no more, didn't touch it ever again. I haven't touched it for decades now. So that's
Amen.
All now.
Well,
and I enjoyed
gotta,
it, but look, man, you know, I really did. I thought marijuana was very relaxing. But then again, remember, when I was smoking it, it was like 4-5% THC, roughly. Today,
yeah.
90% of, I think, is inducing psychosis in a lot of people.
Yeah, look at me. I love it.
Yeah, I rest my case.
Pastor Don Jr., come on. Come on now.
Yes,
testify. When was the last time? When was the last time?
Last night. You know what?
Me too. Me too.
Yeah,
yeah, legal now. Legal now.
It's legal in a lot of states. It's not legal in every state.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
True story.
But, you know, I would like to name a strain, motherfucker.
By the Fed,
yeah. Well, you know what? What was it, Minnesota or somewhere? It's not legal there, and you're right, there's not. Okay, I got to get to the subject because there's people who actually don't know the show, and they're saying this looks like a good subject, and we're talking about crime and everything. The Mexican Mafia, check it out. They're running profitable, illegal Los Angeles casinos for behind the bars. You know, let me tell you something. I can end this right now. If you give me authority, and the prison authority, I could cut the shit out. Every head, the shot callers and the people who are calling the thing and the crime and all that, what I do is the head of the guy, I put him to Gitmo. Right away you're going to Gitmo. That's it. I'm cutting the head off the snake, right? You're not going to have any mail. No family members, no nothing. You want to do this shit behind bars. You want to call this, and you want to call murders and all this kind of thing. You're going to Gitmo. I'll send that message to you. What's wrong with that? I mean, what do you think? Then you're going to get some bleeding liberal. Here, gets his rights. Some ACLU person will come out, sue my ass because I'm taking away his rights to have a letter or two. But, you know, that's what I would do. All right. So here's what's going on. So they're doing this shit on top of this shit. And it says illegal casinos in Los Angeles. Of course, Los Angeles. We're like the dumpster shit of the state. Illegal casinos in Los Angeles are cropping up everywhere from warehouses to homes and are largely benefiting incarcerated members of the prison gang called the Mafia, Mexican Mafia. And then I said, damn. And then it reminds me of another criminal, Donald Trump. And I'm going to say something. I'm going back around. Just listen. And so I'm up there condemning these thugs, these criminals, the scourge of the earth. You know what I mean? The scum of the scum. And they would kill the – and like we were talking about, there's no rules. You got the nephew coming up, and they will kill you, you know? And so I started thinking about it, and then I started thinking about Donald Trump. And I have never heard a person – you ever been around people who are not happy? I mean, have you ever been around people who are complaining all the time or they think the worst all the time? It's like, no, I don't want to sneak out. We're going to get in trouble, and then we're going to end up going in jail, and I'm going to be somebody's bitch. You go, dude, we're just going around a corner to get something to drink. Donald Trump does that. You know, I'm listening. Actually, I haven't heard this fool in a while. And hang in, Sarge. Hang in. I know you're hanging there, but you got to listen to what I'm saying. I haven't heard this fool in a while. And what I heard was unbelievable. What was it? What was it that I am your this and I am your this and I am? What president talks like that? You know, I am the law. I go, okay, all right, we're gonna let this go. But every time that you ever notice that Donald Trump talks, he hates America. And I hang in there, Sarge, and I'll tell you why he hates America, because everything's wrong with America when the man talks. Well, we're going to make America great again. We're going to make America good like it had ever been before. Like before? How far back are you talking about? Because right now I feel my bling is shackles on my feet. I mean, how far are you going? You know what I mean? We mean before. And it's like, yeah. But the guy is miserable. Case in point, here it is right here. Here's Donald Trump 5 days ago talking about America. And every time he talks about America, it's shit. We got the worst this. We got the FBI who's corrupt. We got this. We got a corrupt system. Our voting system, it's a scam. It's everything bad about America, Donald Trump will tell you about. I don't think he said one thing good about America. I don't think so. Well, here's 5 days ago, and Trump is talking about Biden. But listen to this dude, that his version of life. Here we go. Now, I'm going to mute people. Don't go away because sometimes we get the back feet. So hang in there. How you doing, beautiful? I'm checking with Melissa. How you doing, beautiful?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I'm going to mute you. Don't hang up. I'm going to mute everybody.
Beautiful.
So you can listen. All right. Well, it's only going to be 3 minutes. But you got to hear this, man. Just hear the tone. and who this guy is. And then he has to, have you ever seen a place like, well, this place is shit, and this place is this, and this place, I wouldn't even live here. And oh, look, baby, rent's cheap. It's not so bad. It's just listen to Donald Trump. And you tell me, do you hear what I hear? Here we go.
And other lethal drugs are pouring across our wide open border, stealing hundreds of fentanyl, heroin.
Is he drunk? Crossing the border. Is he drunk? Well, here we go.
Heroin, meth, and other lethal drugs are pouring across our wide open border, stealing hundreds of thousands of beautiful American lives, and it's happening like never before in our history. Children are being left without parents. Families are being ripped apart.
Children are being left without parents? What the fuck? What kind of island are we on? Children are being left without well, you know, kids, you got to raise yourself. Where is he coming from? Where is what's happening here? Where are children being left without the parents? I thought he was talking about immigration and maybe the kids behind. He's talking about America. There's a lot of children being left without parents, and they're running the world, I guess. Here we go.
Children are being left without parents. Families are being ripped apart. Communities are being decimated. Our neighbors and fellow citizens are having their entire world.
And this is the happy talk. This is the happy talk. This is our this is the happy talk.
Our neighbors and fellow citizens are having their entire worlds destroyed. Destroyed like nobody thought possible. Our country is being poisoned from within by the drugs and by all of the other crime that's taking place.
Yay, drugs.
The drug cartels are waging war on America.
No,
and it's now
not.
Time for America.
No, the drug cartel sent us a nice little letter, an apology letter for shooting some people. I'm very sorry that we killed your people, but here's some flowers and some cocaine. I hope you forget this incident, and we can be friends. They sent us a nice apology letter. Who does that? What murderer does that? I like to see a murderer. They kill somebody, then they write an apology letter to the family. Hi, I am the murderer. I killed your son. I want to say I'm very, very sorry that I did it. I got this anger management thing, and I missed a couple of classes. I mean, what do you do? Who sends an apology letter? The cartel did that.
The drugs and by all of the other crime that's taking place. The drug cartels are waging war on America, and it's now time for America to wage war on the cartels.
Wow.
In this war, Joe Biden has sided against the United States and with the cartels. They are making more money than they've ever made before, times 10. There's never been anything like it. They're major, major companies. They're bigger than even some of our biggest companies.
Wow.
Biden's open border policies are a deadly betrayal of our nation. When I am president, it will be the policy of the United States
yes.
to take down the cartels.
Yes.
Just as we took down ISIS and the ISIS caliphate,
yes.
and just as, unlike the situation we're in today, we had a very, very strong border, the strongest border, in fact, in the history of our country.
Wait a minute. What? When you were president, we had a strong border. Oh, yeah, I remember your wife wearing that jacket. Do you care? I don't. And you put the kids in. We had a strong border. No, we did not have a strong border. But if you believe this shit, then it must be true. It must be true. Here we go.
And drugs running low of 45 years. There's been nothing like what we did just 2 years
nothing
ago.
Like
we will show no mercy to
Uh-oh.
The cartels.
Uh-oh.
Every day, drugs.
What kind of leader of the free world will say we show no mercy? I mean, this is not a nice guy. When did we become evil America? When did we become vengeful America? The wrath of America. What happened? Vote for me. I am running for president. Thank you. Who's going to vote for you, you warmonger? Listen to this guy. No mercy. Wow. That's my guy.
There's been nothing like what we did just 2 years ago. We will show no mercy on the cartels. Every day, drug traffickers are using the waters of our region to ship their lethal poisons to America, killing so many of our people.
Who's telling our people to take it? It's like the theory with the liquor store again. Just because it's on a corner doesn't mean you have to go in and buy some liquor. Just because there's drugs flowing in doesn't mean you have to take it. But anyway, that's just me.
And ruining families. In addition to restoring strong border security, I will deploy all necessary military assets, including the U.S. Navy, to impose the full naval embargo and the cartels. I did that before, and it worked.
What?
What we did was incredible.
What we did was incredible? When did we have war in the cartel and we put our Navy guys in there? What the hell? Do you know how much the price of drugs is going to go up? Down with Trump. Down with Trump. More drugs. Drugs. USA.
I will guarantee that the waters of the Western Hemisphere are not used to traffic illicit drugs to our country. Furthermore, I will order the Department of Defense to make appropriate use of special forces, cyber warfare, and other overt and covert actions to inflict maximum damage on cartel leadership.
And this is his happy time. This is him being happy. Can you imagine the message that he's sending?
Infrastructure and operations. I will designate the major cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. We will sever their access to global financial systems.
Uh-huh.
I will also work to forge an unprecedented partnership with neighboring governments in our region, just like I did in Mexico. Mm. And remember, in Mexico alone, an estimated 100,000 civilians have been tragically murdered or gone missing at the hands of...
What's a murderer? Did he say murderer? I don't know.
Like I did in Mexico. And remember, in Mexico alone, an estimated 100,000 civilians have been tragically murdered or gone missing at the hands of these cartels.
Murderer.
The Mexican government, run by a very fine man, the president, is really working hard, but it's not working out. These cartels are vicious and they're violent, and they have Mexico for now stymied. Well, we have to help Mexico, and we have to stymie the cartels.
I'm going to try something. I'm going to try some editing. Let's see if I can get drunk Trump to talk. Let me see. Hold on 1 second. Let's make him drunk. Let's see right here. Let me see. Let's see if this gets drunk Trump. Let's see what happens.
And we will get the full cooperation of other governments to stop.
Oh, no, that's cocaine Trump. He does sound better, though.
This menace, or we will expose every bribe, every kickback, every pay.
Somebody took the coke. Somebody took the coke. I ain't saying shit. Let me see if I can get drunk Trump. Here we go. Let me see. Let's see if I get drunk Trump here.
And every bit of corruption that is allowing the cartels to preserve their brutal reign, and it is indeed brutal. Finally, as I have said before, I will ask Congress to pass legislation ensuring that drug smugglers and human traffickers receive the death penalty. The drug cartels and their allies in the Biden administration have the blood of countless millions on their hands. Millions and millions of families and people are being destroyed. When I'm back in the White House, the drug kingpins and vicious traffickers will never sleep soundly again.
We did it once, and we did it better than anybody else. There's never been a better border than we had just 2 years
Uh-oh.
Ago. It was strong, it was powerful, and it was respected all over the world.
Uh-oh.
And now we're laughed at all over the world. And we're not going to let that happen much longer. We have to take over. We have to be tough. We have to be smart. We have to be fair. But if we don't do something immediately, our country is gone.
Thank you.
And that was a motivational speech from your former President Donald Trump on cocaine. Thank you very much. Let's just see what they have here. We're back, everybody. What a message, huh? What a message. Wow.
Yeah, it was something else.
I mean, who does that? I know, right? You're running for president. You have hope. You're bringing the country together. And this guy comes up with we're going to war with the cartels. Yeah.
Did he happen to mention that the doctors had to take out his skull to see if he still had a brain?
Are you talking about Trump?
No, that's your president who, in one of his absent-minded moments, said that the doctors had to remove his skull and look inside to see if he still had a brain. I'm not making that up. That is almost
it was a conspiracy
exact.
Theory,
I'm
and we
paraphrasing, but not much.
I'm just
now,
saying.
I'd like to know if Trump ever said anything remotely similar to that.
But Sarge, I'm not going political party, and you know I don't scourge, I don't do it on. No, I didn't. I just pointed it out. I just said that I haven't heard from him in a while, and when I did hear from him, it was nothing but doom and gloom and let's go to war. I understand the anger. I understand the anger. I had anger too when those people went across the border and they shot those people up. I had anger, too. I was tired of this cartel. But then they sent a nice little apology letter, and they addressed it, and they signed it. So I forgave them.
Okay. Brian, look.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's another issue I'd like to speak to. I honestly think now, based on all the information I've been able to accrue, that those four people were down there, the tummy tuck was maybe part of their mission. But I believe the main part of the mission was to score some dope.
You know what? You're not the only one.
It looked increasingly like that was the case.
Right. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that's thinking that there's
I understand that, you know, they're American citizens. The United States State Department has an obligation to ask the Mexican government to go into it. I want them to do that, but I'm certainly not ready to go to war with Mexico over them. I don't.
Where are you ready to go to war with them in Mexico?
Big fact.
Because I'm going to tell
you
something.
Over the invasion of 2.4 million illegal aliens from Central America in 2022 alone.
But they're not Mexican.
That's what I'm
But you got a lot of Haitians.
Mexico.
You got a lot of Jamaicans. You got a lot of West Indies.
Excuse me.
It's not,
we're being invaded from Mexico.
Well, the path is through Mexico, and we made a deal with Mexico. Obama made a deal with Mexico.
Yes, and they put their troops on the border to curb the immigration, and it was.
Right.
There were 10,000 encounters on average during the better years of the Trump administration. Today, we are having 240,000 arrests taken into custody by the Border Patrol every month.
What do you call arrest? What do you call arrest? Catching.
Okay, these people come across the border at other than a port of entry, and they surrender themselves to the Border Patrol for processing because they know they're going to be released into the interior of the country after being given a court hearing
date. Like a vacation.
Of which 90% of them will not show up for it, and they will never be removed from the United States by deportation once they get here.
How would you like to do that?
They understand this, so there's no need for most of them to try to evade the Border Patrol or Customs.
I would like to do that. I would like to go to Central Pay, or I'd like to go to Italy. I would like to do it, and then I would like to have them say, well, Mr. Jackson, you came here illegally. You have no passport. We're going to send you back. Yay! Because I had no other money to go back.
Okay.
I just only had enough money to do one trip.
Ryan, the other thing he spoke to of fentanyl, now listen to this, from the United States Department of Justice, talking about 2022, and the problem's gotten worse since. This is from the Justice Department now. According to statistics from the San Diego County Medical Examiner's Office, fentanyl-related overdose deaths have increased. Sit down so you don't collapse when I say this number. 2,375% in San Diego County from 33 in 2016 to 817 in 2021.
That's a lot of burritos.
The amount may increase as the medical examiner's office makes the final determinations and causes of death, according to the Customs and Border Patrol. Seizures of fentanyl in San Diego are up by 323% in the last 3 years, from 1,599 pounds in fiscal year 2019 to, wait for it now, 6,767 in fiscal fiscal year 2021. With 3 months to go in fiscal year 2022, seizures in San Diego are on pace to meet or exceed 2021 levels. In Imperial County, seizures of fentanyl are up 272%. Are you kidding? It's a huge crisis. 100,000 Americans a year being killed by this drug, and precursors of which are sent to China, Mexico, to be manufactured there and imported and smuggled in the United States.
Well, that's what I was
saying. He's not exaggerating.
I'm saying your anger is misplaced because it's not Mexico.
Well, Donald Trump is not exaggerating.
What I'm trying to say is we know where the fentanyl is coming from, and we're not doing a damn thing about it or stopping it.
Nothing about it.
Or the border. Donald Trump pointing it out. Just like all the other drugs.
The main thing is
exactly.
The main thing is popularity.
What is your beef, Donald Trump?
Huh?
He's pointing it out.
The thing about it,
the administration is not even responding to it in any meaningful way.
It's low-hanging fruit. We have problems with immigration from Hoover.
100,000 dead Americans a year.
It's low-hanging fruit.
How many dead in Vietnam?
How many? But those are the numbers you know. It's probably higher than the numbers that are not being written down. I'm saying we have a problem as far as fentanyl goes.
It might be even worse.
Sure, it's worse. That's like saying, and I never knew these guys.
Donald Trump pointed out, don't you?
Donald Trump knows damn well. But here's the thing. Donald Trump knows damn well because he made a deal. He made a deal with Mexico.
He sure did.
And he made a deal with Mexico to pay them off to keep these people at the border as a checkpoint. So
the Biden administration is reverting to that policy now as we speak. The Biden administration is quietly readopting many of the Trump immigration policies.
He should be adopting Obama's administration program because Obama was the toughest one on immigration. All he did was not prevent the Border Patrol from doing their job.
That's all he did. He didn't have anything to do with encouraging illegal immigration.
The Border Patrol was allowed to do its work. Okay.
You got to look at it for what it really is. It's about the money.
Exactly.
They already knew what they're supposed to do. They knew what the law was. They knew what immigration laws. They know what Border Patrol law is. They didn't need Obama to tell them. He just didn't get in their way.
That's true. Okay, we're going to come back to our main subject. 905, I'll get right back to you. I think you're part of the winning team, and I do want to talk to you. I want to drink a little cup of coffee. Let's be mindful, we do have a white girl in the audience.
We'll be right back.
I'm going to mute everybody because there's a song I want to play, and then I'm going to talk to the artists here again who's in the studio today. We have Sarge, one of the best guys around. I love the dude. We have Pastor Don Jr., CEO, winning team, one of the dudes. I love the dude too. And we have Guidance, and we have OG, one of the most talented people just recently I got to have the pleasure of hearing. He's in the studio. And, of course, our affirmative action white girl, Melissa, she's in the studio too. So,
I'm the token.
You're the token. Listen to you, minority. I'll beat the hell out of you. You speak what I tell you to. I'm sorry, I lost my mind.
Well, you're not the token today because I'm here now.
Okay, we got Pat.
Pat, welcome. I got some Salisbury steaks for you.
King posted on Facebook.
So, you know the Encore Salisbury steaks? Pat, you know what they were.
Pat is a psychic. She knows what you're thinking before you think it. But Pat is so good that she would send divorce papers to your wife before you even think about cheating. That's how good she is. Pat's in the studio. That's it. How you doing, Pat?
You.
Love you, and I love Pat. Pat's a psychic, and if you got ghosts in your house, call Pat. Pat knows people.
Yep.
She knows people.
Yep.
If your house is haunted, Pat is there. The ghosts are afraid of Pat. They're going, damn, there's Pat. Damn.
You got a haunt?
I'm going. That's right. I'm going somewhere else. The demons? Pat will come to your house and light up a joint and some sage. I don't know which one.
You know what, Pat? You haven't gotten rid of Brian yet. Yeah, well, that one you got right. You got that one right.
If you don't have ghosts, you'll
see it. I read like a demon rhyme, hi.
Exactly. It's like, Pat would come to your house going, you got demons. No, we don't. She was just a second. Oh, yes, you do. That would be $2,595 for me to get them out. Okay.
Actually, I hesitate to charge people much money. I'm not like that.
I do.
I'm not
I
one of those
people
that wants $90 for a reading, you know?
Yeah, I wish I could.
I want money. I love money.
I'm not that good getting money. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that good getting money. You know, I'm a performer and everything, but I'm not that good. Kelly, and what's her name? Ellen, man, she will shake you down like a mafia hitman. She'll shake. Well, I go, but Kelly, man, that's the rent money. Well, they're going to have to learn and live in the street. Go get the money, girl. All right. We'll be right back. Today's topic is the Mexican mafia. They're running illegal stuff behind bars. But we got Trump water. We got all these politicians writing books and telling on each other and all this. What's the difference? I mean, if I'm gambling, I don't really give a fuck who owns the casino. Do I really care? I mean, I care if they fix the machine. I care if there's some other stuff going on. But if I'm playing blackjack is 21, and somebody goes, oh, well, I got 21 plus. What the fuck? Then I have a problem. Do we really care? Really care? Exactly. Oh, 21 plus.
As long
what the fuck? Yeah.
As long as they're not the people putting that trink stuff into the fentanyl.
Well, there you go.
You know,
see, that, you,
that,
but
that
then again, I know. You know who I think that the problem with the fentanyl is the kids. Go to any high school, man. These kids know who's doing the parties and college. Can you imagine how many college kids are gonna die on spring break this year?
Okay, but Brian, whatever the problem is, it is hyper-exacerbated by the failure to shut down the border.
I only did that because it was
human
porn.
Beings from across
you
the
leave
border
my exacerbation alone,
a great
sir.
Cover to smuggle fentanyl into the United States.
I know.
Yeah, but
go to China.
Coming from Mexico. Not all of it.
China.
A lot of it's coming
also,
from Asia.
It's manufacturing fentanyl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I try to.
I mean, you remember that Trump had negotiated with the Mexican government so they would spend their money to place their soldiers on the border and minimize the number of people coming into the United States illegally. They didn't get past the Mexican army for the most part, and the ones that did were easily turned away and kept in Mexico by our Border Patrol forces.
Yes.
That
I
is
agree.
Gone now. Brian, completely
Brian,
gone.
Do you need to use the bathroom? I think Brian needs to use the bathroom. Do you need to use the bathroom? Because he said it earlier.
Melissa knows
me
Brian, so well. Melissa
go use the bathroom. Yeah,
Brian
bathroom.
Has to tinkle. But
here's what we do. You better escape under this barrage I'm about to lay down on you.
I know. That's right. Refuge. Get yourself straightened out, Brian.
I'm going to have a cup of coffee. But here's what I want to do. When I leave, we're going to play a song. This is from OG. We're going to play a song. I need you guys' help, Alan. And here's what we do. Pastor Don Jr., CEO, you know what we do. You know what we do. So what I want to do is I happen to love the artists. But see, a lot of artists will get their music out there and they'll see the views and they'll see all their stuff, but they don't get the feedback. And I think a lot of artists love to just hear some feedback, you know, just to hear. So that's what we're going to do.
You.
So put on your honest – we got people with different ages here. We have people with different backgrounds here. We have people with different nationalities here. We have people
old white lady.
We got the old people here and the young people here. We got some youngins. We got people on parole and who are out of jail. But what we're going to do, is we're going to listen to the song because it's going to be the break song. And when I come back to you, I really need, for the artist's sake, he wants to hear the truth, the real truth.
Okay.
Now, I know you're not
really.
in age bracket. I mean, he's not going for the AARP group and the blue hair people and they go to bed at 4 o'clock. He's not. I understand he's not targeting that.
He's the AARP. Wow.
Are you saying I have blue hair and go to bed at 8 o'clock?
I didn't say you have blue hair at all, Missy. I'm just saying.
I'm sure this one would be a crowd pleaser for everybody.
Okay, there you go. For everybody. Here we go. Now be mindful. I could play it on the phone. It's not going to be the best quality, but you get the idea. All right, listen. You're listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson on the Hammer 96.7 Hammer Network with the greatest cast and the people who come on this show, which makes the show. I guarantee you, I'll put this show up against any show on Blog Talk, and we'll blow them away. And anybody says, well, I'm better than Hammer, well, you go 3 hours. You're good for half an hour? Try 3 hours. And when you can go 3 hours and you can match me, then we talk. But until then, one time we went 6 hours on this show. 6 hours. Let's see him do that. All right, everybody. OG, do you want to set it up? You want to set the song up?
Absolutely.
The song I'm going to play, just in case you... liquor. Is it the liquor? Yeah, it's
liquor
the liquor
bottle?
Yeah, liquor bottle. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a liquor
this
bottle,
a
liquor bottle
about,
mix. Go.
This is a song of came from a dark place, led into some positivity. This is what we all wish we could do. But as we spoke about earlier in the show, probably isn't the best idea. So as you can feel my emotion, this is original guidance. For the Future Records, also known as Two Tough, the liquor bottle.
And here's the song. Thank you, man. I lost the song. All that build up, and I'm doing this part time. Got it. Okay. Here you go. It's beautiful. Liquor bottle. And here we go. And here we go. It's supposed to go. Live radio here. Hold on. Maybe it's going right now. Oh, I just had the stereo turned down. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Live. Here we go. Liquor bottle.
Watch me burn, she can watch me burn. Watching the Amarillo sunset, thinking to put a whiskey bottle in my left hand.
You know what a night, baby?
I'm reminiscing on the good old days. Hood light on the tailgate on a summer day.
Get it, baby.
Pick up the phone for some good news.
Hello?
Spun 535th Lane.
We out the woods tonight, baby.
I'm on my way. Watch me burn.
Wishing I could drown my soul in a liquor bottle. Hoping and a praying I'll see tomorrow. Call me by make, I'm a millionaire.
She can watch me burn. Watch me burn.
Wishing I could drown my pain in a liquor bottle. All my sorrows, all my pain, all my have-nots. Here in Colorado, haze in the trap spots. Everyone that flew away after gunshots. Blessed like changed life, you might see tomorrow. Summer day, summer night, and we all follow. Monday through Saturday, working full throttle. Wishing I could drown it all in a liquor bottle. All the lies that you told on me. All the toxic rays that explode on me. Damn, I gotta do this myself. The bottle back on the shelf. You won't acknowledge my health, so I'm falling. All the lies that you told on me. All the toxic rays that explode on me. Damn, I gotta do this myself. The bottle back on the shelf, you won't acknowledge my health, so I'm falling.
Wishing I could drown my soul in a liquor bottle. Hoping and praying I'll see tomorrow. Call me by make, I'm a millionaire.
She can watch me burn, she can watch me burn. Dirt road driving ease my mind, road driving ease my mind, road driving ease my mind. Dirt road driving ease. My mind, driving ease my mind, driving ease my mind.
Wishing I could drown my soul in a liquor bottle. Hoping and a praying I'll see tomorrow. Call me by make, I'm a millionaire.
she can watch me burn, she can watch me burn. Watch me burn, she can watch me burn.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, geez, Knickerbocker. Excited. All right, you heard it. You heard it, the crowd loves it. There you go. Puff, puff, Pat. All right, here we go. Let's go to Pat. Pat? I need a review and some criticism, and whatever you think.
Well, it's definitely coming from a dark place in the soul.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm.
And you could hear the pain in the singing.
Mm.
You know, you really could.
Yeah.
And it was definitely emotional, that song.
Right.
It was
right.
Definitely hard hitting. You know, it wasn't
wow.
so much something you wouldn't listen to it for a reason other than you're in a mood and it kind of rides your mood. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Now,
yeah.
if you were to play that song, what kind of mood would you have to be in for you to enjoy that song really deep? Like, you're feeling the emotion of the song, I understand. So...
Yeah, I think I would have to be in a kind of somewhat angry place to really enjoy it. I enjoyed it, but the emotions that it brought up in me, I can go there real easy because I've been there 100 times in my life, right? So I could feel the pain. I could feel the emotion. It came across very clearly in the song.
Did it make you horny?
Nice try.
All right. There you go. That's a yes. Thank you, Pat.
Nothing has in years, honey. Nothing has.
I know.
In years.
I thought we'd get the juices flowing.
God.
Thank you, Pat.
Love my friend.
Exactly. OG, would you like to respond to Pat and her review?
Absolutely, absolutely. I greatly appreciate that information. And yes, you are right. When I came up with this soundtrack and these few songs, I had a lot of turmoil in life. I had just lost a jazz club that I was in the process of building due to COVID, you know, and the restrictions, and, you know, people not being able to get out. I mean, there were so many things that went on in my life. And where I went with it was to the recording studio instead of to the liquor bottle. And that's where the lyrics came from. I was wishing that I could drown those sorrows, you know. I mean, and though it may be temporary, just, you know, drink it away for the night, tomorrow morning the
problem's
still gonna be there.
But it can turn into more. It can turn into more, you know. I've been down that road. No one wants to go there. You know,
absolutely.
Drinking just to exist.
Yeah, I've been down that road. And here's another person who still lives there on that road. Melissa, what do you think of the song?
Oh, it reminded me of a song.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, I can't think of the artist, but it's, I can only think of
it
the words.
Reminded
it just
me of
reminded
a song,
me.
Too.
Mm. I don't know if the lyrics
it was
are,
music. It was the beat. It was the beat, honey.
The thing. I'll figure it out. But it had
okay.
a lot of heart in it. You know, a lot of heartache and.
It did have a lot of heart in it. It did. Did you like it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
I liked it. It
wow,
was different.
That's two.
But it was like.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll find that artist.
I appreciate that. It's actually designed to be movie music.
Yeah, it's really good.
That's
in
a,
the
that's
video
a goal
that goes
mine,
along
was...
with this. Go ahead. Sorry.
I apologize. Go ahead.
No, the video that goes along with that. Particular song I'm thinking of was a really haunting video, and they did a good job, you know.
Well, that was more or less a haunting song, so.
You sure? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So far,
is my turn now?
The ladies like it. Let's go with Sarge.
It's your turn. Go ahead, Sargie. We love you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that. introduction. You know something? I was expecting to hear a pounding, jarring beat, but instead what I heard was a lilting Caribbean-like sound that was quite gentle, swaying, and was introspective, and then coupled with the lyrics, which was somewhat at odds with the the lyrics were at odds with the gentle lilting Caribbean type quality of the sound, and it produced an interesting kind of, I guess the word I'm looking for is dissonance.
It
and
worked,
I'll tell
though.
You what I'd really like to hear. I'd really like to hear this with better sound quality than what I get through my phone.
Right.
Because
yeah.
I think it'd be a whole lot better than it was. And it was very, very intriguing. But I definitely think I could really appreciate it even more if I was still token. But I'll tell you, I'm very intrigued to hear it with better sound quality than I got on my phone. And I think it would be something that I would play when I was I was contemplating something thoughtful or introspective or dealing with a personal emotional tragedy of my own. That's the kind of music I like to put on when I'm in that sort of mood. So, yeah, I did like it. I got to admit, I was surprised.
Wow, that's another like. Look at that.
Another like.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that response. And again, the goal was definitely to stir up some emotions. That's where the name came from. Most definitely.
Yeah.
I want people to be able to relate to the song. It's not exactly going to be for everyone, but I designed it for a movie. I actually designed it for one of those scenes, because every movie has its climax and then it's downhill from there. And I designed it for that scene where, the triumph and everything's going well and then boom, life hits. And that would be something that would be playing on that scene. You know what I mean?
But where can I go to hear it with good sound quality? I like to hear it again with better sound than this phone I got, which this tinny,
Absolutely. I'm on all streaming services. I'm on 1,500 streaming services under the name Two Tone. That is the number 2. T-O-N, the number 3. You can also look it up. All my music shows up on my YouTube. That is the number 4, T-H, the number 3, F-U-T-U-R, the number 3. Again, that is For the Future. Replace the E's with 3's. No space.
What is the title of it again?
The title is Liquor Bottle. It is part of the Dirt Road Anthem. We're also working on a movie with Kirby Capone. We'll be shooting in June called The Dirt Road Cowboy.
Very good.
And this is this soundtrack, again, I try to be a well-rounded artist. No genre is safe. I'll work on anything with any artist. I like to pride myself in that because music is a universal language. But you'll find a wide variety of music on that. I collaborate with artists from all over the world and so far 6 continents. So I hope you find something that you like. I hope you enjoy. Please enjoy. Leave feedback. Leave a comment. Subscribe, if you like it, if you feel it, share it with your friends. The company and organization is fairly young, but the goal and the focus on the community has blessed us. So,
I really liked it. I did. I like all kinds of music, though.
You should, if you like all kinds of music, you should hear my music. You know what I mean? I got to.
No, you don't want to hear his music.
Yeah.
No.
Hey. Hater.
I'm sure that, man. Let's
hater.
No.
I grew up in the rough streets of Beverly Hood.
Okay.
He won sympathy now.
That's right. They called me Waffles. Waffles.
Let's say we might not hear anything quite that
they
elegant.
Call me Mr. Kids.
Exactly. Wow. Congratulations. Wait 1 second. I think we have 602. You're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 602.
Hey, good afternoon, Brian.
Hey, King Webb, everybody.
King Webb.
Another artist.
You, brother.
Oh,
hey,
welcome, King.
King
Webb.
Did you bring me my Salisbury steaks? Come on.
You said what?
Your Salisbury steak. What's going on?
Oh, he posted the Salisbury steak picture the other day.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
He said everybody remembers this. I don't.
God, that sounds good to me. Now, King Webb came from the winning team, and he was so good we decided to keep him. We sent Pastor Don Jr., CEO, the kidnapping conditions and the money, and he just said, keep him. I'm only kidding. No, he
just... You got jokes, man. You got jokes.
No. I love King. King's my brother.
You're on the gas.
Hey.
Yeah, boy.
And Pastor Don, Pastor Don Jr., CEO, winning team.
I'm behind the scenes. Yeah. I'm
what did you think? Now, is he? Are you going to be prejudiced? Or are you going to be biased because he's that good? He's one. You know. I mean,
nah,
you know him.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm really big on feedback sessions because it's big for the artists to hear what the people think. And what I thought, it's a great record. It has a moody feel to it, and not only that, it's a different record. So when you're playing all the hippy-hoppy and it's thump, 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 you're throwing a record like that, it brings everybody to one accord and back to their meaning. So it's
Pastor
a record,
Don
man.
Jr. All right, man. That's a professional right there. What his professional
appreciate
do.
It,
now I'm going to hear my review. Now, I was happy until I heard the song and I put a gun to my mouth. I'm only kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
blow my brains out. That motherfucker's sadder than I am. But, no, I loved it. I really did. I really did. I like
Thank
it.
You.
It's an, I felt the originality of it. I felt the heartbreak. It wasn't some satire or you ripped something off. I mean, that was just some true heart feelings in that song. And you felt it, man. You went on a journey with you. I liked it. I give it a 10. Look at that. And we're we're not nice people.
maybe feel even better. I'm blocking over here. You know what I mean? I'm a little dark, so it's more like a grape or a strawberry, but I'm definitely blushing over here. Thank you.
We'll be right back with our subject here. I mean, does it really matter? The question is, does it really matter who runs the thing? And here's a couple of examples I want to give you. If you watch a basketball game, you got 10 beautiful black men playing a child game for millions. You got millionaires running around there. Millionaires around there. But the owner may be racist. You know, the owner may be from Kentucky. He may be 80 years old. He don't know no better. His father was prejudiced. He was raised, you know. If you have somebody 80 years old and you're talking about his father, now we're into almost slavery time, aren't we? I mean, look at the time. You got to look at the time we're in. If you're 80, that brings us into
now,
an
my
era.
My mom was 90 10 years ago when she was born in 24. So that was after.
Oh, you're right, because
that was
1924. Okay, grandfather. I'm safe in the area of grandfather, right? Everybody has a grandfather.
No,
right
that
now.
Was – hey, listen. If my mom would be 100 right now, okay, basically.
Right. Then it would be, 19 –
You would
23?
Have to go back two more generations.
Okay, but we're getting close to – we're close to women not
great
voting.
Greats.
Yes.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, my grandmother was actually a suffragette for the voting.
Your grandmother was what? I'm sorry?
A suffragette. The ladies that fought for the voting.
Oh, did she really? Wow. I didn't
know
they had that in Canada.
I even have a picture of her in her white outfit for that. They wore
my
white
My grandma
outfits.
Was an alcoholic.
Oh, God.
Well,
I just
want to
share.
I thought we were sharing
grandparents. I mean, congratulations, Pat. Congratulations, because in Canada, I'd like to know the history
That's
of Canada.
Awesome.
But I'm just saying that if you have a guy who's 80 years old and his parents puts him in the 1920s or whatever, okay, you still got the racial thing going on. They're still hanging us. In the 1920s, they're still hanging us. Don't think we're not.
Oh, I know. I was down in the States when I was about 11, and there were signs all over the little restaurant saying the KKK is watching you, and
right.
the black people had to sit outside. And
you know,
it was
funny.
Terrible.
It was funny. This was like a month ago. I forgot to tell Melissa and Laverne. Sometimes we talk. So I get this message, and I tell everybody. I just tell the bad message. So this guy's very racial at me. I'm going to get you, you know, hammer you. Whatever. You know, I don't have to say the names. So he threatened me. And I said,
oh, really?
Not like the old, so it's not like the old days. Niggas got guns now. We can, you know what I mean? It's not like we don't have no guns and we're just running around. Yeah, boss. You know, yeah, boss. Okay, boss. We'll shoot you and your family. We got guns.
Now we have white people that are related to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That
that's
means
a big change.
But
yeah,
the
did you
thing
guys
is,
catch that Angela Davis thing on Louis Gates Finding Your Roots?
No.
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 Oh,
I was
man, that,
in,
was, that was hilarious.
No.
I was in San Francisco when Angela Davis was killed.
Oh, were you
she
really?
Wasn't killed. You got the wrong Angela Davis. Angela Davis is very much alive. She's a
oh,
Neil
the
Marx
one back in the back in the 70s.
It's okay.
There was
all the black
that.
Girls look alike. One dead black girl.
No, no.
The
Angela
oh,
Davis,
well.
The one we're talking
oh,
about,
my
is Professor Angela Davis, who is a professor of social studies or something like that at UCLA, well, Berkeley.
Is she still
in,
alive?
California.
Is she still alive?
She's very much alive. In fact, she just did
oh,
a
that's another
documentary
one.
With Louis Gates about her genetic roots. And what was revealed just blew her into the water. She was stunned. She didn't know what to say. I mean, it was amazing.
You know what blew me away?
What it revealed?
No, what did it reveal?
It revealed that her maternal grandfather
was
a white. Very prominent white lawyer and state senator in Alabama. And she and her mother was his spitting image as a female. You definitely can see a photographs of him side by side with his daughter. That is definitely his daughter. And get this, her great grandfather, eight generations removed, came over. Paternal grandfather, eight generations removed, came over on the Mayflower. So the woman is literally descended from founders of the United States and people whose family had been slave owners.
Wow. You know,
she was stunned. She didn't doubt any of it. She saw all the records, the county records that backed up the genealogical research, and she just sat there open-mouthed. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And I swear it was the funniest thing because I can look at her and see the cream in her coffee. So somebody's in there.
Stop it.
That didn't come from the continent of Africa.
Well,
you are
you know
something
what?
Else.
The cream in her coffee. You know, you brought up something, Sarge, that was interesting. We had everybody. Did anybody see the movie Roots or the TV show Roots?
Oh, yeah.
Alex Haley.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah, of course.
Well, we had Maya Haley on the show, which is Alex Haley's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She helped wrote the book Roots. She was there. Mm-hmm. And you want to hear something. So Maya and I became good friends. She sent me a book. You know, Cindy and her became really good friends. And we used to talk off air. I mean, I'm amazed at this woman because I told her Roots changed the world, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she said to me, she goes, Brian, do you want to know the real story? I go, what's the real story? Well, Alex Haley hid her for a while. Now, he was married to her, but he hid her.
What a bastard.
He posed her as a fan, an author, and a friend, but that was really his wife, and he was already married to somebody else.
Oh, my gosh.
He was married to somebody else. And I asked her, I go, Maya, why did you put out with it? She goes, I was young. I was an author. You know, this guy was a mentor. I mean, with the things, and he used to beat her a lot. And he mistreated this. It was a story. She wrote three books, and I have two autographed. But I said, you should put this in a story. She goes, I can't put it in a story. Melissa?
You'll know.
Melissa, are you here? Okay. I just have
somebody
call. Okay, it's a different area code. It's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No,
but
I'm here.
Went through, she had to watch him as he put more and more groupies in the room, and he made her watch. Now, this was her wife. This was his wife. And then he beat her if she turned away. It was just gruesome stuff that she was telling about Alex Haley. And then she said this, he's a fraud. I said, Amaya, come on. I can only take so much, you know. And he stole a lot of the story roots from somebody else. And he paid him off to keep his mouth shut. How's that?
I believe it.
How's that? And so we have had that. I know I popped a lot of people's bubble and everything. I'm just saying that, and we have a lot of entertainment people in here. And people ask me all the time, you know, do you want to go in the entertainment industry? I said, you're going to lose your soul. You will lose your, for you to, and you guys can argue with me. Please argue with me. Please debate with me. Please tell me I'm wrong. Because for you to make it in the entertainment industry, you got to change. You will change who you are.
You have to. You have to, because it's just such a game.
It is. And you're always on that game.
If you aren't playing too, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I can say I've made it quite a way. And that is one thing I've promised myself that will not happen. I think it has a lot to do with the mission and who you have standing behind you. I show up
Good.
With the pastor, you know, with the winning 300, you know what I mean? You know,
right,
the few
right.
soldiers that defeated that vast army, you know, when they respected Nazis. So that's
right.
the way that I look at it. Just as we were
but
talking
you know
about
what happened
earlier.
To the 300, but you know what happened to the 300 at the end of the film?
Absolutely, but that's what happens to everyone at the end of life.
That's true. Oh, you know what? That's pretty damn, you're right. You're right.
That's like when I get asked, am I going to die?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, it's there's a lot of people now that are willing to kill and die for no reason. I think when you stand on a purpose and you stand for something, it makes it worth it. You're building a legacy. You're building that statue outside of Staten Island, that statue outside of the library in your local city. This country
right.
was built off of people making big moves when
right.
no one believed in them.
You know, I see you would be the person. It's like somebody says, well, Brian, are you a leader? I don't want to be the leader. See, I'm with you, OG. I want you to be the leader because after they assassinate you, I could tell the story.
What a bugger.
That's the way it goes, man. Some of us are willing to sacrifice ourselves for the better good.
Right, and I'm going to write a good book about you. Yeah. I'm going to pour one for the homie.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, I like old English. Make sure you point out old English for Mickey.
I will.
I tell you, I'm waiting for Angela Davis to pay herself reparation.
Yeah.
I think the bottom line for that is money is intoxicating.
It is, isn't
and
it?
I think
yes, it
people
is.
Get in,
it
yeah,
is.
They get intoxicated.
And you can never get
well,
enough
you know
of
what
it.
It is?
Yeah.
They think money's going to make them happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're never happy because they're always reaching.
But it always makes me
yeah.
smile a lot.
And the more you have, the more you spend.
Yeah. Or you're afraid
there's
to lose.
Never enough.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
See,
yeah.
when you get into the danger waters is where you're afraid to lose shit. That's when you get into danger
yeah.
waters. You do shit
yeah.
to keep your shit. And the shit that you're doing is not good, you know. You know, money's fine, and then you make it fine. You're right. Who said it? More money, more problems. I forgot who said it, but it's
Love
true.
Daddy.
I don't even know if it's problems.
Yeah.
You just get more. You get more, and then
but
you need
who's
more.
Who's satisfied with
more
it?
Stress.
I mean, look at Rupert. But look at Rupert Murdoch. The man's a billionaire 10 times over. But and
yeah.
he's like 92. Isn't it time to retire and take a cruise? And Bill Gates and these guys, they just want more and more and more.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people are confused is they don't understand that money is a necessity of life and not a way of life. That's what's gotten me this far.
Goodness.
Yeah, well, what they're doing is, I believe, look, I really believe that these people like this who have a messianic complex, they really think they are elites and they need to control the way we live. That is the problem. They really think that we are not suitable for deciding our own lives. They want to make us eat bugs. They want to make us eat bugs. They want us to live in little teeny tiny houses. They don't want us to have oil and energy. They don't want us to have any of that because they think that they have higher priorities that to be elitist, to tell us how our lives are to be ordered, and they have the money to enforce their will.
So do you think they're trying to dumb us down? I think they are. I mean, if you think about it, it's insulting. This smart TV, this smartphone. What are you saying? We're idiots? I mean, it's just we're gonna go AI. So we're gonna keep you dumb and stupid, right? So we can control shit. Is that the object?
Yes.
No, I didn't want you that way.
Yes,
this is where Sarge. If I got this clearly, you meant that they know best, so they're gonna tell us how to live. We're just stupid.
Yeah, they have this messianic vision, and they've appointed themselves the new messiahs who are going to lead us in the promised land.
Yeah.
Wow.
I get it.
I mean, all the environmental movement is shot through with these people. They're fanatical.
I get it.
You know, when we come back, because we have to still do a show on this, these talks are great. Well, don't you think, Melissa, this is a great show?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I ask any one of you to tell me what a cartel is, can you guys do it? Anyone. Just say your name, and I will come to you. What is a cartel? Anyone.
It's an organization. It is a mafia. It is a...
United States government.
Well, here's the definition of it. You guys were close. It's a written agreement between belligerent nations. It's a combination of independent commercial or industrial enterprises designed to limit competition or fix prices. It's a combination of political groups for common action. That's the definition of a cartel.
Exactly. I hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Exactly correct there, Brian. And the Jalisco cartel and the Sinaloa cartel are two of the best examples of cartels. They don't like competition.
Right.
Yeah.
So they eliminate them.
Exactly right.
Yep.
Bloody, because they can't do it legally because it's illegal.
You're right. I got so many I talk about this a lot, and it's been verified. Even Ellen wrote some shit down. Blog Talk has come to me a million times. Not a million times. Maybe six. I made the mistake. There was something happening with the studio. It was getting to the cartel. Something happened to the studio. I was sick and tired of it, so I actually called Blog Talk. That's when you could talk to them. And they said to me, I swear, oh, well, Mr. Jackson, what's the name of your show? Let me check. And I go, okay. So I'm waiting, and I hear, oh. I said, okay, you found the show. She comes back and she says, yes, I did find your show. I said, well, she goes, it's full of profanity. And what else did she say? It was perfectly scum. Basically what she said my show was.
Wow.
And she goes, you need to clean up your show. I said, as long as I'm paying your ass, because we're, you know, anybody on Blog Talk, it's not free. You're paying for airtime. Anybody on Blog Talk. And so I said, as long as I'm paying your ass, you will do what I say. And she said, she goes, oh, no, well, we got agreements and we got rules and everything. I go, fuck the rules and fuck you. Leave my show alone. Goodbye, sir. I'm a lady. Goodbye, sir. And I hung up on her.
I'm a lady.
You misgendered her? Oh, for God's sake, the horror. The microaggression,
the
travesty.
Don't tell me my show is vulgarity. I made it that way. Thank you, and good night, sir.
That misgendering, you need to be strung up and put on a rack.
He's like it.
Oh, man.
What greater crime can you commit today than misgendering someone?
I don't know.
You didn't use the appropriate pronoun.
I don't know. I got so confused. But
man, I'm gonna have to really set you straight, brother. I can see that. You're not with
me. I'm so inappropriate. I'm sure he'll have a good day. I'm sure he'll have a shave and a haircut. But when we come back, if you're thinking about traveling, even though we heard what happened in Mexico, these people got shot. These people were mistaken. The cartel sent a nice little thank you note and apologized. I think we could forgive them. At least it was nice. When was the last time Trump apologized? If the cartel could apologize, so could you, Trump. So,
did you guys know Mexico banned smoking except in your own house?
Did they really?
So
anybody
that goes down there wanting to party and smoke, they can forget
it.
No cigarettes.
Wow, I did not know that. Some of the probably the hotels. I mean, they have it out here too. It's getting to a point in California where you cannot smoke in public. It's getting to that point.
It's getting there here too.
Yeah, nobody.
You know,
really
they're trying everything to stop people.
I know. But when we come back, these are what is it? Nope, not that one. If you're going to Mexico for spring break, you dirty, dirty, naughty bitches, you go. I'm going to tell you something, and I told this from the beginning of the show 12 years ago. If your girlfriend in college is telling you that she's going to Cabo, what she's really saying is, I'm cheating on you. Women tend to cheat when they're in a different country. And I guess it's the law that you're not really married because you didn't get married in Italy, so I guess you're single. I mean, if I go to the Middle East, I'm single. You know what I mean?
Do you want me to tell you the real truth?
Yeah.
Women can rationalize anything.
Can't they? They can rationalize murder. Well, you know what? I told them three times that I needed bread.
I could do that. Yep.
Exactly.
Wouldn't even twitch.
it would. Ever since I got my cycle, I've been angry. Oh, man. Damn. I can understand that.
I haven't had one of those in 10 years either.
Oh, Jesus, Pat.
I love being old.
Damn.
Being old has some very good qualities.
It does. Except for that heat thing, when you guys get hot and cold and all that kind of thing, that can drive you crazy, you know.
I don't get very much of that. That's more menopause.
But you don't have to worry about getting pregnant or anything. But you know what, Pat? I mean, you seemed to me an angel. I'm just so surprised at hearing that you're like a horny girl on the move all the time, and you're glad you got rid of your period because you could fuck better. Or was that just
Well,
me?
Yeah, but there's nobody to, you know.
Oh, well,
you know.
There's always somebody to, you know. There's always
well,
somebody.
Well, not at the moment.
Because you don't want to. I guarantee you walk out the street and the first guy walks to you and says, hey, come here, you want a good time? I guarantee you he will be on you.
No.
I guarantee you.
No.
Yeah, if
no,
you want to bet, let's try
I've got a brutal hernia. I will not show anybody.
Okay. Don't flip you over. Don't worry about it. Wolf, wolf, baby, wolf. Wait a minute. I know the clergy, Pastor Don Jr. just checked out. You know, Lord, I tried. Please forgive my trespasses. I went to a show again.
You got jokes, man. I'm listening. I'm hearing everything.
Hold on, 111, you're live on the air with Pastor Brian. Brian Hammer Jackson, you're live on the air.
Hi, Brian.
Hello, Mr. Solution. How are you?
Well.
Huh. Oh. Well, Mr. Solution, We have Pat. You know Pat the Psychic. We have OG Guidance.
Hello.
The musical
I don't believe
guest
in that,
for today.
By the way.
Okay. Well, we have the beautiful Melissa. Do you believe in that?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't
okay.
being
okay.
psychic anti-God?
Okay, hold on,
I'm
hold on,
asking.
Hold on. And we have the great Pastor Don Jr., CEO with the winning team. Everybody, Mr. Solution, I hope I didn't forget anybody. But, yeah, we have Sarge.
Yeah, hello, Pastor.
And we have Sarge is in the studio, another. Your friend. Your partner in crime, Sarge, is also in the studio.
Oh, hello, Sarge. Yeah.
And we have eight other people who are just listening.
How's it going there, man? How you doing?
Super duper, super duper. Brian, I'm going to have to rescind my investment. You're not coming on enough to keep our revenue flow.
To keep
I don't
want
to end up like SVB.
Hey, well, look at it this way. When I'm on, you're happy to hear from me.
I accept that.
But I own it. You're right, Mr. Solution. I mean,
now,
10 years ago, I never missed a day. I never missed a day. I never missed we're 7 a.m. on the thing, you know. Just lately,
well, you're
Mr.
right, and I accept that for now, so carry on.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is, I don't know, syphilis is up 79%. Syphilis is
oh
up
my
79%.
God.
Yes.
Really?
It is up. Yes, it is. And this is the kind of syphilis that don't play. It's one of those things
where?
That are almost a... Huh?
Where?
We mean where? In the United States.
Oh, okay.
In our country, syphilis is up. Gonorrhea is up too. We wonder why. Well, when you have things like swipe left, swipe right, you know, Tinder and Grindr, and you know, we just threw away
mm-hmm.
all of our morals. We threw away everything. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm a guy, and if I saw a girl on Tinder because I wanted to get laid and hook up, and she knows why I'm on there, and I know why she's on there, it doesn't thrill me. I don't know. I can't do it. It's like, okay.
I'm the same.
Can you guys?
But you're with
somebody,
Brian.
I know, damn it. She reminds me. I know, but still, I mean, it's back in the day when I was in college, it's so easy to get laid nowadays. What happened to our morals now? What are we doing?
Wait a minute.
What are we?
That's not true.
I don't
Brian.
Know. I'm from the 70s. I mean, everything was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Everything.
There you go.
It wasn't the saying.
I know.
Real.
You're like
and
sex and drugs and roll me over.
Out.
What's that?
Pardon?
What's that solution? What's that solution?
I love it when we have a good time. There's a report out that says something like a third of young men under 30 are not sexually engaged at all.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, I don't know if it's the same one that they're not having children or they're not sexually engaged. There's kind of
no, it's the latter.
Is it really? Well, I don't know.
Well, I think the girls have too many toys and they're not that interested in getting involved in bullshit.
Well, it's even I wouldn't say that. Girls.
We did a segment on that. I agree with her 100%. Rock
well,
Amadeus.
Hold on. Women produce.
How many feet do you
the
have,
vast
Mr.
majority
Solution?
Of that bovine scatology.
How many? Just slow. It's not going to cut it nowadays. You got girls with 5 speeds.
No. That's
I knew
not
a girl
it.
That had
What's
turbo.
It is the women are selling yeah. themselves. They have monetized themselves.
You think so? You know who I
yes,
feel sorry
sir.
For? You hit the nail on the head. You know who I feel sorry for? The pimp. The old-fashioned classic pimp. I feel sorry for him. And the reason I feel sorry for him is because the government took his business away. Because
well,
now,
no, webcam did.
Well, no, well, let me just tell you. No. The pimps ran that, too. The pimp used to get the hose on the webcams. They used to run that shit too. They put that camera in their bedroom, I had them chained to the bed. I saw the video, and I loved it very much. I liked it. But what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to say is the government took the pimp out of the business. Because what they started doing is they started labeling it sex trafficking, which is a felony. So
yeah.
the old-fashioned prostitute is no longer a prostitute, a hoe to the pimp. It's now she's a sex trafficker. And it's
so
a
wait a minute. So has anybody told the Me Too movement about this?
The Me Too, I don't know, but no, Sarge, isn't it true? You're labeling it now. You're not labeling prostitution as going by the wayside, and you're hearing more was being replaced with sex trafficking. Am I correct?
No doubt about that, because actually there is an element of slavery with sex trafficking that was not quite present with simple prostitution under state
right.
law.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
so
and
I feel
you know
sorry
something,
for
the girls that are in it, the girls that are in it have a hard time walking away because of the money.
Right,
like,
and the
they
drugs.
Always think, I'm going to make it, or next year I'll buy a house, but then they're drinking so heavy or something, and they can't get their money together.
Pat, I would think that would be true
problem.
In the 70s, but I just think they're hooked. I think the pimp just got them hooked on drugs so much that they're doing it for the drugs now instead of the money.
No, my son was actually hooked up with a prostitute for a couple of years.
Really?
And I'll tell you, she was the biggest pile of shit you've ever seen. But
wow.
I won't even go there. He finally got rid of her in September. She was threatening to ruin his life, to ruin his home if he tried to kick her out. Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, that sounds like the typical girl that I dated. I'm serious.
But anyhow, she spent so much money on herself between false eyelashes, false nails, false this, false that. She was so false, there was nothing real about it.
I bet you she had
Except
a real period.
She had real humongo boobs, but they were disgusting.
Why?
You know, like, there's a certain size you get to that really doesn't look good. Well, she was there. And then she grew a belly.
Wow.
It was sad.
But what made her a prostitute? So far I'm hearing she's a bad girlfriend. I'm not hearing she's a prostitute.
She was working out of the massage places and shit.
Oh, okay. Okay, you hit the right word.
Oh, and going on dates. Dates, eh?
Yeah, but I have to say, you know, I have to call foul. And I have this pet peeve. She's who she is. I can't blame her for being the stinky, nasty hoe that she was. What compelled your son to go, hey, that would make a good girlfriend? What was in his head to say, you know what, I want her in my life as a girlfriend?
Number one, she was a hell of a good actor for the first few months.
Okay.
And she didn't gain the weight till after she was with him.
Okay.
She looked pretty hot at first. But, of course, all of it was artificial.
Right.
Artificial coloring, artificial flavoring. You know, basically she's artificial.
Yeah. You taste, you eat her out, and she tastes like diet cum.
Yeah, I mean, it was so bad. They had nothing going on because she was such a piece of dirt.
Wow.
Narcissistic. Oh, she was a narcissist.
Wow. Most beautiful people are. I've never heard of
they are
beautiful. That's why, when I dated people who were like mentally ill. And I purposely soaked. I really did. It's like, okay, you're a little cuckoo. Let's go. I dated cuckoos. And because I dated cuckoos, they were freaks in bed. They don't act like we act. You know what I mean? Like,
Brian,
you know, I dated.
Wow.
Yes.
Remember the talk we had about sex toys?
Should I go in a corner?
And I,
Huh?
Remember the talk about the sex toys, and I said the problem is people with passion are good and bad, and people that are steady aren't.
Right.
And that's how people make so many mistakes.
Yeah, I made a lot
because
of
them. Because the sex pulls them in?
Yes, thank God. If it wasn't for the sex, I have nothing in common.
Listen, yeah, that's the problem.
You know what? We're all looking for the freak girl, but she could pose to be the nice girl. We don't want the freak 24/7. I mean, we don't want her to go to the grocery store, you know.
That's the problem, though, Brian.
Yeah.
They don't have an on-off switch.
I'll beat the nasty out of them. You know?
No on-off switch. I'll borrow that one.
Oh, what
do
a
it
show.
Again,
when
do it again.
What are they going to cancel me? Melissa left long ago. I'm out of this show. Don't put my name to it. I'll sue you. Oh, my God. When we come back, I know. When we come back, if you're thinking about spring break, these are things you should know if you're going to Mexico about the cartel. These are and they're going to be people who go to spring break. They're going to be people who go to Florida. They're going to be people who go to Mexico. Can you imagine? I mean, a bunch of drunk 21 to 28 year olds on a beach just
naive as hell.
I don't know if I could handle that. You know, I'm a grown-ass man, and you want to fantasize, but you just look at that and go, I just can't handle that. Let me ask Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Pastor Don Jr., CEO, in your early days, have you ever met a woman that you go, I just can't handle that? I just can't handle that. Have you ever met a woman like that?
I have.
Have you really?
I have. Yes, I have.
Damn.
100%.
I think we all have. It's like, I can't handle this shit. All right.
Come on, man.
When we get back, I want to thank our musical guest, OG Guidance, for a song, Liquor Bottle. I want to thank our musical guest for that. And when we come back, if you're heading to Mexico, let me give you some warning. This is from the cartel itself. Donald Trump is on his – if you listen to Donald Trump, he's angry. He's pissed. Only him can save America. And,
he's always mad.
He's pissed. He is pissed off. He said that he could solve the war in one day in Ukraine and in Russia. One day he could solve the war. Yeah, let's give Russia and Ukraine.
Statements.
Sorry,
Sarge, but he is.
I don't know what we're going to do with. Is Donald Trump a threat to our nation? Is he really a threat?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yes, he is. Mm. From the outside
Absolutely.
Looking
this
in?
One, I got one word. Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only people Donald Trump is a threat to is the globalist hegemonists who want to completely alter our way of life and end us as a constitutional republic. He is a threat to them and no one else.
Sarge, is he one of them? Is he one of them?
No.
I think he is.
I don't think he is at all. All of his actions are inconsistent with that on the diplomatic level and on the national policy level. If he was like Joe Biden and he had policies more in line with Joe Biden, that would make sense. But he is doing the very things that make the United States independent of these globalist forces that make him so hated by them.
But Sarge, he wanted to change the Constitution of the United States of America. I mean, aren't you against that? Trump
it's been done 27 times. It's been adopted, Brian. They're called amendments. The United States Constitution was amended 27 times since 1787.
He wants to get rid of it, the Constitution.
He did not say that.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. You're exaggerating what he said. I know what he said.
I will find it. I will find it for you.
Because if I thought he wanted to get rid of the Constitution, I would reject him out of hand.
Right.
But he didn't.
Right. I will look for it.
Remember,
for me,
the supreme law of the land is not any statute. It is the Constitution of the United States. Everything is subordinate to the United States Constitution. All law
that
must be
a loose
in accordance with that document. All of it.
He's a loose cannon, that guy.
Even Donald Trump's policy. If Donald Trump's policies are not consistent with the Constitution, then I'm going to reject his policy.
Okay. Okay. Trump calls for the termination of the Constitution. Here we go. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'll bring up. You want facts? I'll bring it up. You know I will, Sarge.
All right, and I'm going to tell you why that's all hyperbole.
Oh, you already said it before you heard it. You're already judging it.
I've already read what they said, but you go and read what you got. I've read it already.
Well, it's on YouTube. You can hear it. Here you go. Only a little bit. What is it? How many minutes is this? It's not that much. Here we go. And you can judge for yourself. And you really, let me see here.
Referrals are coming in the next month or two. What do you think? Do you think we're going to be seeing a criminal referral for the former president?
Well, we've heard some mixed messages on that, Jim, but let me tell you that as a former DOJ prosecutor, the last thing I would want is a criminal referral from Congress. And here's why. It doesn't do anything for prosecutors. It doesn't help prosecutors in any way. They don't need a criminal referral. In fact, they're investigating Donald Trump right now. We know that. That's why they appointed a special counsel. But here's what it does do. It gives Donald Trump a talking point. It allows Donald Trump to say, well, look at that. A bunch of Democrats and Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, politicians on Capitol Hill, tell DOJ to jump, and then DOJ jumps. And that will enable Donald Trump to at least try to cast this as a political prosecution. It may not be a
meritocracy. He was trying to do the same thing. He was trying to set up the whole DOJ.
Yeah. Well, he wants to get rid of the FBI. He wants to get rid of the CIA. He wants to get rid of all the things that are, you know, I didn't want to go into.
Oh, wait, Brian, when did the FBI come into existence? In fact, when did the Department of Justice come into existence? 1876. We didn't have the Department of Justice in the United States before 1876.
Well, I'm not a fan of the FBI.
It's a federal government agency. It can be abolished at the will of Congress.
Well, let's put it this way. They don't need it much longer with all the Alexas in everybody's house.
All right, so look, I mean, they're over-exaggerating what he said. He was talking about, Trump does not explain things very well, especially when it comes to fairly complicated legal subjects. I'll admit that. But there's a term in the law called void ab initio. That means void from the beginning. In other words, fraud vitiates a contract. If a contract is based in fraud, then it is not legal or legitimate. He is saying that the election was not legitimate from the beginning because it was based on fraudulent activity that enabled Joe Biden's victory. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that is a legally established principle.
He could not prove it, though. You're right.
You're missing my point. My point is not even to say that he's correct. My point is to say he's talking about a legal principle that is widely accepted in all the courts of the land. Now, whether or not you can apply it to an election is a matter of opinion. But he's certainly got a right to point
that,
given all of the evidence of fraud in the election that they have been ignoring.
That's like saying alternative facts and alternative truths.
Not alternative facts. I mean, it is a established legal concept.
Okay. All righty. I'm going to ask you guys this question. I already know. It's 11. Got 11 minutes. I'm really curious about you guys, and we got different people here. I'm going to go to OG. I don't know if he's still here or not. I'm going to go to him first. And I'll just give the question if he's here. OG, let's say you got a restaurant. It says OG's Place, whatever, Guidance. It's a beautiful restaurant. Great cornbread. I heard it. Everybody comes miles around for your cornbread. Now, there's a particular day where the KKK are holding their marches. Now, they're legal. They got the permit. And they come into your restaurant. Do you serve them, OG? Do you serve the KKK?
If they haven't already proceeded to do what they do to myself and my family, I've got a business to run. But at the same time, there's no tolerance for one sided ignorance, for lack of better words. They come in there with respect, they get served with respect. If they come in there with disrespect, I'm a man of many colors. I can say that much. I respect any man that respects me, but that's where I probably wouldn't have made it very far if I was born, let's say, 60 years earlier, because I definitely stand on my respect. I demand my respect. But I give it as well.
But you will serve them. But you will let them come
absolutely.
In. Okay. Let's go to you, Pastor.
But if my family's harmed, it's smoke in the water.
Okay. Well, let's go to you, Pastor Don Jr., CEO, company man, marketing expert, promoter, and persons who make people stars. Pastor Don Jr.
I agree with God.
Do you really? So you would serve them. You would serve them.
I don't care. We here
really?
To make money off business. Yes, 100%.
Really?
They money is green, they spend. When I put it in an account, I just take my account and I see it, hey, it's real.
Wow. Sarge?
First of all, I'd like to say that a business owner is free to discriminate against any customer as long as they don't do it on the basis of race, sex, or national origin. So you can discriminate against anybody you want for any reason. But if somebody's coming in there and they got their money and they're behaving like they're supposed to in there and they're not advocating their position publicly, they're just asking for service, I'm probably going to serve.
No shoes, no shirt, no hood will serve you.
I'm free to discriminate in any way I want as long as I don't do it on the basis of race, sex, or national origin.
Staying with you, it's a gay
and
parade.
Here I'm the one that would say no, I wouldn't serve them.
Really, Pat? From Canada? Who's natural and who's neutral?
No,
you
to
Canada, you got to check that coming from Canada with Justin Trudeau.
Wow.
Are you kidding?
Canada's becoming a police state.
No, it isn't. It's just me.
Pat,
because
I thought a police lock up a guy for saying a man is a man and a woman is a woman. I witnessed them putting handcuffs on this guy.
Well, I remember back from when I was young, and from what I remember those people, I don't want anything
people.
To do with them. Not even for
now,
10
well,
minutes.
Pat, would you, but you're a business owner, Pat. It's like Pat's are us, and Pat, you got the best pudding. Everybody's talking about your pudding. Everybody's going to Pat. Oh, you know, Pat, oh, yes, you got some good pudding.
I'm sorry, we're closing for the day.
They want some pudding. So they come in. What would you do? You would not serve them?
I would ask them to go to another store.
Really?
Another restaurant. I would.
Now, why would you do that? Because you don't like what they stand for?
Because I have no tolerance for people with that mindset.
But it's legal. They have the
I
permit.
I don't care.
Okay, so what happens? You go, okay, y'all get out of here. They go, okay, man, we're leaving. And then here comes Dan. Hey, Pat, how you doing? Oh, Dan, your booth is right there. And you find out that Dan's a child molester. But it was allegations.
Hey.
Do you still serve?
He'd be out too.
You have no customers.
Hey, Brian, this is the United States, Canada. She's got a right to discriminate against whoever she wants to, as long as it ain't on the basis of one of the things I just said. If she wants to discriminate against her, she got a right to do it.
Right. Let's go to Melissa, who accepts everybody. Melissa, would you serve them? I already know your answer, but... Oh, I forgot, Mr. Solution. Mr. Solution, I'm so sorry.
We've been down this road a million times.
Yeah, let me go to Mr. Solution because we got 5 minutes and it'll take him 8 minutes to do an answer. But I know what you're saying, Melissa. You're one of the good ones. Okay, Mr. Solution, would you serve them?
It's okay for you to overlook me.
No, it's not. You're at the bottom.
I've accepted your abuse by now. Look here, Brian. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that on this particular issue, you would major in the minors. I would say go to go to Chicago, D.C., New Orleans, or a number of the other big cities, and you will find more carnage carried on by the people of the same ilk. And
I understand.
Well, I don't think you do, because the Ku Klux Klan is nowhere in sight. So you're arguing symbolism over substance, in my humble opinion.
Would you serve them?
Yeah.
Big deal.
But my concern would be serving the animals that put a loaded gun in the face of children and shoot indiscriminately. Why don't we talk about that? That's a much greater import than some.
I don't see that.
Biz, they're not wearing signs, and you don't always know who they are. But the KKK usually announces themselves.
Exactly.
Well, the KKK is an easy target, okay, wearing those stupid wizard costumes and so on and so forth.
Right.
I mean, let those people have
anyone.
Their say in the woods and burning whatever they burn, you know, probably mostly marijuana these days. But I just think, Brian, if you're targeting a problem, you should approach the larger problem other than the minor problem.
Well,
I'm just saying
the reason I said that is because it's not against the law to be a white supremacist. It's not against the law to belong to certain groups. It's not against the law. This is our own opinion.
Well, let me just throw this at you, and maybe you'll enjoy this. Chris Rock, I was listening to Chris Rock, and he said, who's the most racist, black folk or white folk? And he said black folk, because they hate white folk and black folk. What do you think about that?
Ooh, oh, geez.
You know, it goes back into, if you're old enough, it goes back into, we did hate each other. We hate the dark black people hated the light black people, and until Stevie Wonder came up.
Wait, but answer Chris Rock, though. Are you answering him?
No, it's ignorant.
And you know comedians like yourself
are
brilliant.
No, but
I've studied comedy, and one of the things is they take every event.
It's a joke, and it's supposed to be funny.
Well, yeah, but jokes have, let's see, in vitro veritas, right?
I do not think black people.
To that.
I don't think black people hate black people, no. I don't.
The ring of truth.
Okay. Well, what's driving the killing and all the major? Oh, Brian.
Drugs.
Now,
drugs.
I just got to say that's
drugs.
Absurd. What you
no,
just
it's not
said
absurd.
Is it's asinine, because if you look at all the so-called blacks that are killing each other, it is just absolutely
Are you saying black folks are prejudiced against black folks?
Well, what did Chris Rock say?
You killed me.
I didn't care what Chris Rock said. Chris Rock is a comedian, a joker, a joke. I mean, he's not sitting there writing policy.
Let me say this. Comedians, on the aggregate, have above-average intelligence.
No,
they're able to take everyday practical issues and make them funny.
No.
You're not answering what Chris Rock said.
I am answering.
You,
I said it five
Colin,
times.
George.
I don't agree with it. I don't agree.
Well, you
agree
may
that,
not agree, but the dead bodies in the morgue speak very loudly.
That has nothing to do. You're talking apples and oranges here. You're talking, which I don't like, black-on-black crime, and I have a thing about it, and I don't want to talk about that hardly anymore. But I'm just trying to say that.
Yeah, but you should.
Why should I talk about
black-on-black homicide? Insignificance to black-on-black homicide. Insignificance.
Mm.
And
why
that shows that you really don't. Wait a minute. Let me just say this, Brian. That shows that one really doesn't care. They just have a narrative.
No, I care too much. Is that I can't do anything about it. It's more about to me.
Talk
it's
about
more
it.
About
hold on. Hold on.
No,
let
no. Listen. No,
rep-
you got to listen to me. To me, it's more about economics, and it's about territory. And it's about drugs, black and black crime.
It is.
But that's an element of all crime. Those are
well,
elements of all crime.
Rationalizations there, Brian. That was masterful.
Thank you, Sarge.
Sarge, I didn't catch that.
Wait a minute. It's 39 seconds.
I told Brian, I said, thanks for your rationalizations, Brian. That was masterful.
I want to thank
Brian,
the great stars.
Brian is an absolute genius at moving the goalpost.
That's right. I want to thank, and you have to have a big foot to make a field goal. I want to thank Sarge for coming into the studio today. I want to thank, of course, Mr. Solution for coming in the studio today. Our special musical guest, OG Guidance, his song, Bottle. Well, is it Bottle? Come on, help me out, Sarge. I mean, help me out, OG.
Well, Brian, you're
liquor
welcome,
bottle.
But
liquor,
I'm going to just
liquor
say
bottle.
This. You should talk more about black-on-black crime because –
why?
That needs to stop.
I can't,
more than
they're not
going to
stop. You think they're going to stop because I talked about it? We, I mean,
you
it's
can
a
try because yeah, you that will alert people of the seriousness of it, and yeah, it could have a small impact.
No, I don't think anybody's going to listen to me and put down their guns and quit
snorting. Let me give you a startling statistic here, Brian. That is indisputable.
Yeah.
85% of homicides in the United States occur in 15 counties in the United States. There are 3,300 counties in the United States. 58% of the 3,300 or so counties in the United States don't even report one homicide in a year. Problem is concentrated in 15 counties where Democrat cities are run by Democrat political leaders. That's the problem. It's not a universal, widespread United States problem.
Mm.
It is a concentrated problem that is amenable to a solution if you concentrate your resources in the areas where the problems are located.
So what's the solution? Get rid of the Democrats?
Well, you heard what I said. Now, if you can't make a correlation, I don't know what to say to you.
Well, that's nonsense, Sergeant. I love you, man. I love you as a brother. But that's nonsense. It's more about economics. And some white in Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, we can go into some of the Louisiana. We can go with some white, red states that have a lot of problems, too. Especially
well, wait a minute, Brian.
You're saying
murder is generated by economics.
Louisiana? Are you kidding me? That's their import in Louisiana is homicide.
It's in New Orleans, not in Louisiana. New Orleans is where it's not. It's Parish County. New Orleans,
okay.
Not in all
okay.
of Louisiana.
Okay.
And what about Chicago?
You keep ignoring where the problem is by trying to export it to a larger area where it doesn't fit. Yes, Louisiana, New Orleans is in a red state. But the homicide problem is concentrated in New Orleans. Just like in Arkansas,
Sarge,
red
what
state.
About D.C. and Chicago?
Little Rock is in Arkansas, and that's where
right.
most of the murder in Arkansas occurs, a Democrat blue city.
Come
right.
on.
Sarge,
come on, Sarge.
Can you hear me?
You don't believe that. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Sarge, can you hear me?
I'm going by the statistics. I don't know why you guys have a problem with numbers. A number is either greater than, lesser than, or the same as. It's always one of the three.
Hey, Sarge.
I'm looking at numbers.
Sarge, hello, Sarge.
It's hard to argue with them.
Sarge.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about D.C. and Chicago?
D.C. and Chicago, again. That's a blue state. Well, Chicago is a blue state and a blue city with the
wait a minute,
most
but D.C. is out of state.
For the last 3 years or 4 years we have ever seen in Illinois.
But D.C. is out
of state. That explains that a Democrat. A nutty,
yeah,
lunatic Democrat mayor named Lori Lightfoot.
Okay, now you're getting into it. All right, well,
see,
you know
what? I don't know
what
to say yet. New York got Bill de Blasio.
I don't know what to tell
you
when you're saying that most crime rates are from a Democratic.
Okay, I'm going to say again what the numbers show.
That's actually true, Brian. If you
don't wish to take notice of the people governing these locales where all of this homicide is committed, then I suggest to you perhaps you're not interested in fixing the problem.
Well,
what about Portland? Walmart has removed itself from Portland. They've taken all their stores out of Portland.
Well, Portland's a red state. I mean, there's Oregon is a red state. But the thing about it is, listen, I don't know. And
they actually promote crime.
Portland is a blue city. I keep saying it's blue governed areas, whether they are in red.
Well,
states
who's the
or
governor? It's not a city. You
gotta,
well, who's the fault of that? That's the governor. And I got a feeling that Oregon has a Republican
police
governor.
Police forces are run locally, not statewide.
Okay. I did not know that.
That's just
but anyway,
not true.
I didn't know that.
And Brian, let me tell you this. Let me disabuse you. I know it's a talking point, but
is that
the Klan
is that,
is
that a real word, disabuse
to,
me? That is not a real
wait,
word.
Disabuse.
I call
you.
Bullshit.
Look, the Klansmen are your friends compared to what's happening in these areas that have been mentioned, Chicago, Portland, of course, D.C., and New Orleans. They make Klansmen look like intimate partners.
I agree. Well, it's a militia now. It's not. I do agree
but,
with you.
But tell me something, Brian.
Yes.
Giuliani was a racist by all accountings from leftist progressives. By
okay.
every accounting, he was a racist. But he
okay.
literally, and I mean literally, saved
yeah.
thousands of black and Hispanic lives in New York with his method of policing, because they went from an average of between 1,200
really?
And 1,500 thrown at homicides
so
a year under his police policies. He literally
sorry, so
saved
you're a big
thousands
fan
of
the
black
stop
and
brown
lives.
You're a big fan of the stop and frisk?
Does stop and frisk kill somebody?
Oh, come on.
They saved their lives
Sarge.
By better police methods.
Hey, Brian, you're not listening to what he's saying.
I hear what he's saying. He's saying that crime went down with the stop and frisk situation, and
stop
I'm saying
and
that it's breaking
people's...
Stop and frisk
is not unconstitutional.
It is now. It is now.
No, it isn't. It never has been.
I guarantee you, next time, it's still ruled in effect.
You can do it unconstitutionally, but it is not inherently unconstitutional.
All right. Well, you know what?
I'll tell you, I've got to work with you, Brian. I'm going to try to educate you. I'm going to do my best.
Well, the school tried it,
and that's a philanthropic thing to do, Sarge. That's a very brotherly thing to do.
Yes,
but if it's saving
it
lives, Brian, why wouldn't you be for that?
Because nobody's listening to this show to save lives. Nobody's listening. Nobody's
well, no. Actually,
their,
I'm just talking
I
about
think,
you.
I
You've
think
got to answer before your maker yourself.
So, what do you mean answer? I'm giving it a platform. Anybody from Chicago, Portland, whatever, want to come in and want to argue with us or tell them what's going on in Portland or saying this has to stop and want me to call the governor or want me to call the police commissioner, I'll be happy to do it.
No, what I'm saying at least is that you could look at the evidence and stop with the propaganda. The Klan is not the threat that those people represent to themselves. The Klan doesn't even register on the Richter scale.
Okay. So what do you? Okay, I do agree with you. It's no longer a Klan. It's a militia.
I have a question that was asked. I have a question.
Please.
Are we in podcast?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Okay. Because Laverne asked me, and I said I think so.
Yes.
Maybe she wanted to call in. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe you can do a three-way and get her in if you like. Can you do
oh,
that?
Oh, wow.
Does that work?
Brian,
you
are smart. That might work. It's worth a try anyway.
You would have to put it on speaker.
Brian, I just want you to know that when I was talking about homicide, I was excluding suicide. I'm talking about
homicide,
which is classified as the killing of one person, killing another person by actions either deliberate or inadvertent. What a homicide is.
I understand.
And Brian, a good show would be that,
yes.
because I've been into this, both Miley Cyrus's song, I was out working out the other day, and her song came on, the one Flowers, and she's really picking a fight.
Miley
Although
Cyrus has a son?
It's about her boyfriend.
You're saying Miley Cyrus has a son?
No, I didn't say that.
What did you say, Miley Cyrus?
S-O-N-G.
Oh,
Clean that wax out. I said that she has a song called Flowers. I would encourage you to – I've been speaking about it on a number of shows. And also the transgender woman that spiked the ball in the face of –
Fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that spiked the ball in the face of the volleyball player the biological woman. I think those are great topics. I think, and this is where Sarge and I come to blows metaphorically, is on this issue of transgender women. I think transgender women are actually going to turn around the tyranny of biological women.
And conservatives,
and
that's not gonna happen. Transgender women are women. Why would they turn
my brother conservatives
being...
cannot have no consequences for out of control biological women. And I think transgender women are the answer to it. Unfortunately.
Actually, I'm not all that much against disagreeing with you on that. I mean, I see the logic of your argument, and it certainly does
thank
have...
you, Sarge. I appreciate that.
But here's the thing,
because
though.
I'm telling
the
you...
I have, simply the fact is that if you have something called women's competitions, no human being who has XY chromosomes can ever be a woman. Period.
Well, but that doesn't matter, because
definition.
They go to the issue of person, which trumps sex. Personhood trumps sex, and that's what they're doing. And let me just say this. First of all, women's sports are not that important. Women don't even care about women's sports. I understand the WNBA has been a losing proposition since its inception. So what we're doing here is just we're fighting a non-entity. What should happen is we should just have one standard. Whoever can meet that standard should compete. Can't meet the standard shouldn't. Because if you look, I can't be a jockey, okay? Jockeys make a lot of money. But my morphology, my physiognomy, excludes me from being a jockey. I need to fight nature. Nature is my enemy in that particular respect.
Well, I have to concede the logic of your position and even the logic of the fact that this transgenderism is going to end women's sports.
So, and I say, so what? And most people don't like women's sports anyway. Women don't even like women's sports. The only women's sports I like is ice figure skating, lingerie football, and pole dancing. Oh, and women's
How about gymnastics?
Oh, I
well,
like
that. They're kind of small, but yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. I think women should be able to aspire to the idea of being a champion. If its sport involves speed and or strength and or power, no woman can ever aspire to be a champion in the sport, ever.
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, okay, I see where you're going with that, and I say, look, so what? I mean,
okay.
I just explained that. Now, I'm not against women being healthy, but women don't have to win. I was in a conversation with someone, and I asked, why women's sports? And they said, well, women need to win at sports. And I said, why? Give me a good reason that women – as women have to win at sports. That's a non sequitur.
Well, I agree with you on that. But that's the reason they came up with women's sports in the first place, so they could have an aspirational goal.
Got it. And I'll give you another nonsense. And I see why they came up with it. Some people make money off of it. But the national anthem at sporting events, what the hell does one have to do with the other? Now, I can see why the people who run sports would want to rope as many people into that particular mindset as possible, but they have nothing to do with each other. I love sports, by the way. I played sports, so you're not talking about an anti-sports person. But women don't need their own separate sports. There should be one standard. If women can cut the mustard, I was once speaking to my boss, and I told him that a female boxer could knock him out. And he said, well, I'm out of shape. I said, okay, imagine yourself in shape. Female boxers could still knock you out. And he says, well, yeah, you got a point there. And, you know, it doesn't mean that women can't compete. The woman who lost to the swimmer said that she was okay with it, who lost to the transgender swimmer. So I'm just saying it is written nowhere in nature or nature's laws that women have to win at a sporting event.
Well, we accept that notion, and I'm not going to say what you said is absurd because it isn't. Nobody has to win at anything because the standards are set. The goal is clearly laid out, and you either meet the criteria to get there or you don't. So, but the problem I completely accept that. Women, again, men, just look at men who become champions. They were able to aspire to the idea of being a champion. Muhammad Ali said he wanted to be champion of the world when he first started boxing in the Athletic League and Police Athletic League. He wanted to be, he aspired to be champion. And he knew with hard work, dedication, and discipline, he could become that. Because he had
and not just that, not just that, don't leave it. Okay, I concur with what you said so far, but he was amazingly gifted. He didn't even have to use his hands to block punches early on. He could just use his head and body movement. So he was amazingly gifted. And this is the thing we don't actually enter into the equation. Men have to accept defeat every day, all day.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Men know that we can't have it all. We know that.
No. Wait a minute. Having it all. It's apples and oranges what you're talking about. We don't have to accept defeat.
No, it's not.
We disagree. I have never in my life accepted defeat. Never. What I do, if I have come up short on something, I said, okay, I came up short. Where am I weak at? And I will work on that weakness, and I will come up again. But I will never sit there and say, I am defeated. I can't do
this. Right. To
me,
second place is first place loser.
Well, okay. Well, nice phrase, but I'm just saying I have never sat down and said, I am defeated. I can't do this. I've never
right,
had that.
Right. But how does this relate? Now, what I'm arguing reality, okay? I'm saying that transgender women have seen a bounty. Women have gotten a lot of transfer, what you call socialism. We've transferred a lot of benefits to women undeservedly, okay? And what transgender women are seeing is that is a field that's ripe given the context and the boundaries of personhood. And I agree with the courts on this, Sarge, that person trumps sex. And therefore, these transgenders are arguing from the point of personhood. And I also say to women very lovingly.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you.
This is what I say to women very lovingly. This is the face of equality. Face equality.
You are one weird person. You are one
Well, how
person.
So, sir?
Well, the transgender
I'm glad
women.
We got people out there who think like he is outside the box, because otherwise we'd be a bunch of damn conformists. And
no, I didn't, I'm glad. No, I'm
today,
glad he.
But all
no, I didn't say anything. Well, we're gonna get into woke is. No, we'll be on the show for another 6 hours. I guarantee you.
It's
I'm saying the transgender.
I don't go full bore with them on everything. Only this isolated issue. Where
okay.
they the, combat the tyranny of cisgender women. Go ahead.
Okay. The transgender people, all they want is equal rights, civil rights. Their rights are being taken away.
Oh,
that's all they want.
Please, don't spare me that.
That's all
not
they
true.
Want.
Can I ask
that
a
is
question?
True.
I have
yes.
a question.
Yes.
What does cisgender mean? I'm serious. I don't know.
A cisgendered person is a person that is heteronormative, and that's another word for you. That means that they are of traditional sexual orientation.
I'm not getting it. Sorry.
I know. They got 69 different genders now, so they'll probably have another 10 next week. So I understand why you're confused.
Non-binary is I don't know if you're familiar with that term. Non-binary.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
yeah, I am
thing.
That one, yeah. Yeah. But
you,
the
you
they're
have
synonyms.
Normal.
Well,
don't
they're
worry,
pretty much
you're
synonyms.
Normal. You're normal. You're normal.
Right.
Okay.
And so what transgender women are doing, again, Brian, and I don't think you answered this, and you may not have an answer for it, what am I saying wrong if I say that transgender women are arguing from the vantage point of personhood, and they're saying they have a right to compete in these athletic events?
They're mentally ill,
no.
Sir. Why don't we take their mental illness into account?
Well,
transgender to me is a manifestation of mental illness. When your mind is at odds with normal, healthy parts of your body, to me that is an automatic sign of a form of mental illness.
I'm trying your point.
Right, and we may need a mental illness to combat a mental illness.
Wait a minute. No, stop, stop. You're doing it. Mental, you're trying to go persons. You think... Just because they're going to go into this transition of a woman, they're still going to think like a man. That's what you're thinking, and that's the wrong thinking. That's what the wool you're trying to pull over the eyes, and it doesn't work.
Wait a minute. You can inform me, but that's not my way of thinking, though.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
you just
Brian, if I told you I wanted to have my arm amputated, not for mercenary reasons or for
I'll
some reasons or some
nice.
Other benefit,
yeah.
but simply because I thought it didn't belong on my body, wouldn't you
right.
say that would be a form of mental illness?
No, no.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. People
no,
change.
Would be,
okay,
Brian.
No,
it
no,
would
stop.
Be mutilation.
Stop. No, because people change their boobs. People change their hair. They change their eyes. What I think, people get tattoos. You're going to tell me back in the day when people say, I want to get a tattoo, and to this day when Jewish people are saying, if you got a tattoo,
getting a
you
nose job
very...
is not the same thing as removing
no, no,
it
but
all
that's
together.
Your, but that's where you are drawing the line. But I'm just saying, if somebody wants to change.
I definitely am, yes. I think there's some lines need to be
I'm just saying,
drawn.
If somebody wants to change their appearance, and in the music industry, help me out, OG, help me out, anybody, but in the entertainment
yeah.
industry... People, you got grown-ass heterosexual men will come in with a fur coat, ask James Brown. Good God, y'all.
Yeah, too sad.
And back in,
hey, so
and back in the
day. Napoleon. That's also a form of mental illness, isn't it?
Well,
but
Rick
no,
James
that's
theatrics, Brian. That, come
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah, Rick
I mean,
James. Oh, damn. But wait, let me ask
you. But look here. I think you guys deviated, and I wanted to hear you guys'
no.
argument.
I know you want to hear us argue.
Transgender women arguing that they have
there's
right
no such
to
thing.
Compete,
you keep,
the right
you
as
keep
a person.
You keep saying
to compete
gender.
In
what you,
female athletics. I'm listening for the argument if there was one.
There's no argument.
Because
yeah.
biological male is not
no,
a female competing in female athletics.
But female athletics doesn't have
and what? But and
it doesn't have a supremacy legitimacy. That is something
what?
That is made up by us. And rules that are
I mean,
made
are
by
you,
us.
Are you guys intimidated
yes.
by somebody but, who says, you know what?
I mean, well,
like
wait a minute, Brian.
Female.
Let me finish the statement. Rules that are made by us can be changed by us. I say
who's
that
us?
Women's sports was never
who's
that
us?
Legitimate. There's no reason to have a separate sporting for women. There's no, I haven't heard any real argument to justify that. I've heard that
okay.
women want it. Okay,
yes,
so
OG.
What?
Wait, let's hear
well,
OG.
The basis is equality,
I think OG
right?
has something to say. He's a guest. Go ahead, OG.
Yeah.
Sure.
The basis of the entire argument is equality, right? Women's equality to men's equality, correct? I think
no,
you must,
equality,
you must step out of the
period.
Box. Yes, equality, period, yes. And I think the most logical thing to do would be to step out of the box, okay? Equality. We put a man next to a woman on the line. We give them both the same car and have them drag race. Equality. Vice versa for sports. I'm not saying I 100% agree with the situation, but I do agree. Well, if you want equality, you must be under the same parameters and guidelines because that would be the same as saying, okay, a man wants to line up next to a woman, but he wants equal rights. Okay, well, what does that mean? Does that man bench press twice as much as that woman? Because if so, we've got to bring his bench press down to 120 pounds, if that's what she benches. So when you say equality, I think the hardest part about this whole situation is for people to understand that equality comes with everything. And
Mr. Pacific was definitely laying it on the line. It is definitely, it's definitely an equality thing. You can't give two people two different guns and expect them to shoot the same. You got to give them both the same 1911 that you were using, same ammunition, whether it be, you know, and then see who the victor is. So I get where he's coming from to an extent. It can't be considered equality unless it's under the same guidelines. Same playing field, same weather, same rainy day, same everything.
And let me say this. Had you finished? Because women have been the ones who demanded equality. Equality
absolutely
has consequences.
Yep. Look what
yeah, equality has
marriage
consequences. Men are doing, wait a minute, men are speaking with their gonads detached, and they are just jumping on the bandwagon with women. They're following a female argument, which is basically a selfish argument. It's an entitlement argument. Women need to get out there and compete, and a lot of women are great at what they do. Like I said to my boss once upon a time, we used to have these sort of conversations, you know, and women, they may not be at the top or at the apex of the pyramid, as it were, but so what? Most people aren't. And the men that are at the top of the apex of sports are willing to risk everything to do that. Everything.
Yep.
Look at some of these men, whether it's in boxing or football. These men don't live normal lives after they finish their short stint in football. I read about Kobe Bryant before he passed away, unfortunately. Kobe Bryant had all kinds of problems, leg problems, back problems, as a result of his having played basketball for 20-something years. So that being at the apex in a particular sporting activity takes a heavy toll on men.
Yeah, well, look, the argument you make is very attractive, you know, to me, Mr. Solutions, because I do believe
thank
in equality.
You,
but here's the problem. What is relentlessly awful about all of this is the fact that when you get equality, these neo-Marxists come up with new terms because equality isn't good enough because it doesn't yield the results that they want. So now they got to come up with equity. See? They corrupt everything because so much of this is inspired by neo-Marxism, which is the most god-awful philosophy in the history of mankind. The most
let me say it this way very succinctly. In other words, I believe in
ever,
equal opportunity, but not equality of outcome. Equal
yeah,
opportunity of outcome tyranny.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Equality was just a smokescreen to get to equity.
Right, right, which is another way of saying equal opportunity of outcome. And realize this. I love women. I shouldn't even have to say this. But women, first of all, can't organize themselves. Women can only operate and exist in the ambit of men. They cannot live outside of the organized group. And in other words, I could say it this way. Men can't reproduce without women. That's true. However, women can't even live out their normal lives without men. Because and this is where I wanted to get into the Miley Cyrus song, talking about she can buy her own flowers, she can dance with herself, she can talk to herself for hours, and she can love herself. I encourage you guys to go and listen to the song. It's a great song. It's a great song. Hell, I was doing over 20 miles per hour to that song, you know, because music facilitates athleticism, right? And but the song is absolutely trash in terms of its essence, what it's saying. And see, women are the ones pushing this narrative, this fight, that they don't need men, which is a bald-faced lie. Women could not survive without men. The food, the shelter, the medicine, you name it. They could not survive without men.
You know, I tell people, beware
men.
Of people who use absolutes. When you talk about women,
does that include
you're using absolutes. You know
I am. What's wrong with the absolute I'm utilizing?
Because it's because all women are not the same.
I didn't say
they
all
have
women.
To,
what I said
well,
is
when you talk in absolute,
as a group could
when
not
you talk
exist.
In absolute, you're saying you're putting all women in a group.
Well, if you listen to what I'm saying, and if you whoever doesn't believe me, go watch Bear Grylls Island. They reconstruct a modern day situation of man versus nature, woman versus nature. It's not man versus woman or woman versus man. It's man versus nature. See, men have the ability to conquer nature.
Again, you're
women.
Talking in absolute.
Now, hold on,
gay
you're damn right I am. Look
gay
up the word absolute.
Too.
It is a real word.
No, it's
men
not.
Men have the ability to conquer nature.
If I make the statement that people of color have darker skin than, say, white people, is that statement negated by the fact that there are albino black people? No, it isn't.
It
yes,
could.
Groups do share certain characteristics. If I make the statement that men are generally more violent than women or more prone to being physically violent than women, does it negate the fact that there are some women that are more violent than men? No. The statement still stands.
So
right,
how do you explain this?
The
absolute.
If you said that men are more violent than women, you would be wrong. You would be wrong.
The statement I said was they're physically more, they have a tendency to be
now,
physically more
yes,
violent.
Because it's been scientifically proven. You are absolutely right on that. If you're saying that men have better upper strength than women, that has been.
No, I didn't say they were better at it. I said men have a tendency to greater physical violence than women do.
I think you're wrong. You would be wrong, sir.
But
disagree with that? Where do you have information that negates that?
Okay, well, there's a lot of crimes that are not reported by women attacking men. A lot of crimes
right.
are. And so
I know that already.
Exactly. You exactly. You're the guy.
As a police officer, I definitely know that one.
Okay, so
Brian, I can support what you're saying with some studies, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Martin Seberg, I believe he was at a university in California, California State University, pointed out that non-crime statistics, women are equally or maybe slightly more violent than men. Men are less likely to report violence from a woman.
Exactly.
And, you know, the statement oftentimes is that men are stronger than women. Yes. Mm-hmm. However, generally that's true. However, women make up for that lack of strength with surprise and weapons. So that easily, if a woman comes and hits a man over the head with a cast iron frying pan, then, of course, his superior strength doesn't come into play. He's out, right?
Well,
and
you're,
so that's
you're right.
The way women – so women are actually more violent than men.
But I was trying to
speak of Dr. Napoleon
again.
Hill. He wrote this book in 1934 called Think and Grow Rich. And he dealt with the issue of sexual transmutation. And wherein he talked about men, at least good men, funnel that violent energy into creative methodologies. And that's where you get a lot of the building, almost all of the building and repair, the ideas, the building and the maintenance.
But Mr. Solution, you have to filter in something else. I mean, we're 2023. It wasn't that long ago that women should be in the home and that most of the jobs that people were applying for, men were getting, and they were not hiring women because they're afraid that women were going to get pregnant. Wait a minute. No.
If you talk to most women today, they still want to be dependent upon a man.
You still can't ignore
If you speak to most women today, they want a quote-unquote high-value man who earns enough for them to stay at home.
I don't think so. I don't think so. If anything, it's reversed.
Okay,
if anything, it's like I'm hearing women saying, I don't need a man.
That's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie.
Women are ignorant of their own existence.
Still, the best protection and provision for a woman is a man.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Women don't repair roofs. Women don't repair cars. Women don't build buildings.
I have been around women. My girl can take an engine apart and put it together better than it was.
Women don't harvest the food. They don't plant and harvest
the
process.
What are you talking about? You're back in a caveman.
I'm telling you, that's all male. It's not female.
Women operate primarily in the tertiary sector.
Brian, if we had to rely on women to do it, we'd be starving.
I'm sorry, man, I don't know why you said
because there are some women who do it. That means that the universe of men doing it isn't there.
Right, and Brian, let me say this. The aggregation of women in society is always in the tertiary sectors. They want to be CEO, not the person who's doing the work. They don't want to be the plumber, the electrician, the carpenter. They're not vying for those jobs. No, sir.
Yes, they are. Stop it. Behave yourself.
No, they're not.
Behave yourself. You boomers.
No.
You boomers.
Women, we need to tell the truth and shame the devil. We're liars,
you boomers,
unfortunately.
I hate to say this, but as a society, we don't tell
the truth about reality. See, men do it so well, it's actually hidden from most men. Most men don't even understand their own
existence. Okay, you know what? If you went to a man, let me ask OG. He's not biased or anything. OG, you have a car; it's not working right. Okay, you go to a mechanic. Now they're telling they can fix your car. Everything's the same way how they would fix it. But the only thing is, one's a woman, one's a man. Who would you trust fixing your car?
Well, it depends on which car. Is it going to be my shitbox work truck that I beat up every day, or is it going to be my pristine Suburban? Women tend to be a little more careful and cleaner than we are, you know. I know women and men mechanics with the SCCA. I know women that can do some things that men can't and vice versa for men with turbochargers. So you got to get into specifics with me because I'm on both sides of the spectrum when it comes to automotive.
If she's qualified, I
want her to repair my car just for the novelty aspect.
You're going to Fred's or Wilhelmina House of Garage. Which one are you going to?
She's qualified. It shouldn't make a difference, Brian.
Most women
are not qualifying for those positions. That'll break their nails or cause them to perspire.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me go one more question with OG. Oh, and I'll go with
it's 2023,
OG, same thing.
It's
okay, you got a premiere coming up, OG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Friday, I have a premiere coming up. Thoughts of you.
Okay. Now, who do you want working on your hair? Frederico, who is gay, or Linda? Which one do you go to?
To be honest, first I'm going to go to resume and word of mouth. I got to see their work.
Right.
Because you never know who's going to be better for your style of hair for what you're going for.
Right.
I have an eccentric mustache. So... Uh-huh. So at first glance, you know, I would go to Frederico because he has a mustache. You know, he would know, you know, the level of care I want.
No, she has a mustache, too. But go ahead.
The top of everything is probably going to be a man. For example, the best chefs in the world tend to be men, all right?
True.
Although women can cook well, too. But I would say the head of any top-notch gynecology department is going to be a man, too. Although they may stick a woman in there just for show, right? But usually it's going to be men. Men develop that feel for women. Men know women better than women know themselves. I've never heard a woman say there's no house in the world that suits me or no house that can't be built by men that suits me. I've never heard a woman say there's no vehicle that suits me. And all of those are designed and manufactured and maintained by men.
I'm
what
sure there's
some
women that said that. You just were not in the car when they said it. All right.
If the power grid were to go down, plunge us back.
We got
to
go,
if the power grid were to go down, that would plunge us back over 100 years, right? The power grid. Mm. The power grid is operated in the 90 percentile of men. Okay, men operate our power grid, not women. And
I know
it would
there's
women
some women
a
supervisors
long
that
time,
you just
don't
not
be,
see. There's some
women would be. Go ahead.
I could point out some women supervisor who works for the city, Caltrans. We call it Caltrans, the highways and the roads and transportation and the DOT, Department of Transportation. Come on, let's stop the nonsense.
Yeah, they're going into the sewers and doing a lot of pipe fitting, are they?
Brian, you're being a mangina, and with all due respect.
Sure, Brian.
Yeah,
sorry. All the women are just flooding that. They just love that kind of profession, working with sewage.
Hey,
hey, we don't work with sewage.
Nothing more sexier
work
than
in.
A dirty woman, man.
Men
ooh,
do that job because it's necessary, and they have the aptitude to do it.
Right.
I
and
have
men
seen women. I have
duty.
Seen cable women.
Women generally are not
I have seen
duty.
Cable
women
with
are
cable.
To
I have seen them with cable, effect. And they go underneath. They go underneath the houses, and they go in the attics and whatever, connecting cable wire and. And when their stuff gets comes down, they're up in the trees. Come on.
Oh, bullshit, Brian. You, okay,
I
Brian,
have seen
you,
it.
You are wearing a wig right now and shaking your head.
Oh, you behave.
I
just
hey,
leave my
would
wig out
if
of
we
this.
Would have
you
stopped hiring men all
you
together
leave my wig
to
out
give
of this.
All of these formerly male professions to women, and let's see how this country turns out in 10 or 15 years. Y'all don't think you
good.
Would like the results very much at all.
I wish Hillary Clinton was a president.
Hold on. The other day,
I saw
this
advertisement.
I know, right? They said that they were trying to get more women police on the police force, and they cited as a reason to get more women on the police force the fact that they have fewer complaints against them for brutality than men do. Now, that is somewhat questionable, but let's say it's true. Could it be possibly because they are careful not to put themselves into positions where they're likely to get a complaint for police brutality?
Oh, come
on,
Sarge.
In other words, they might
have
to target rather than to aggressively look for criminals. Is that possible?
And we do not believe that.
Is the only thing we're supposed to talk about the fact that more women will be a better outcome for the police department, which I guess if you accept at face value, that means that men are a positive detriment to police, and maybe we should stop hiring men altogether because they didn't have any drawbacks whatsoever to having more women on the police department. Only benefits.
You give me a big titty woman with an arm that's built like Schwarzenegger,
and only
I'm there.
Now, don't you think that's a little bit curious?
And because women tend to be a little bit more intimidated, they'll use their weapons faster.
Oh, here we go.
Women have been shown in studies to use deadly force faster than men.
As well as they should. If they feel threatened, they should use their weapons.
If you're going to use the idea that having more women is a benefit, does that mean there are no downsides? If you're going to catch
downsides
that, okay,
to everything.
Wait a minute. They're saying there's a difference between the sexes, and that difference means that the outcome will be fewer causes of police brutality.
I don't know. It depends on the individual.
Okay.
We got a lot of
so
sorry.
That means that's
there's
the
a caveat that you're
missing on the police force. Now, are there any downsides? Because you're saying
let me tell you, you're
having
missing
men
one
on the
caveat.
Police department is you get more police brutality complaints. So what is the downside
here's
for women?
Here's what you're missing.
Is there a downside?
Here's what you're missing.
Are women perfect?
I'm trying.
What is the answer here?
I'm trying to give it to you.
Give him the floor, brother. Let him speak.
I know we don't get these because we're not supposed to even ask these guys. We're intimidated.
I know.
By
I'm trying to give
bullying.
It to you. It's like DMX. I'm going to give it to you.
please answer my question, will you?
I'm going to. It's like DMX. I'm going to give it to you. I'll tell you why. Most of the policemen that you see that go into the academy came from the military. You got a lot more women in the military now that are coming out of the military getting into law enforcement. So when you say women into police work, they have already done a lot of grunt work in the military and that they're trained to be in the military, so they're equipped to handle law enforcement. That's my answer.
I didn't answer my question. See, you're avoiding it again.
Oh, okay.
Let me go to the crux of my point, which
All right,
is
go
this.
To the crux.
They are saying there is an upside to hiring women from any background.
Yes, they de-escalate.
The upside is fewer police brutality complaints. The other side of that question is that men cause more complaints. So if there is an upside and a downside to men, then what is the downside and what is the upside to men? The question is begged. And then you didn't answer my question.
The question.
Wait a minute. Let him answer, Sarge. I want to hear his answer. Go ahead, Brian.
Women on the police department, whether they come from the armed forces or not.
What's the downside to women being policemen, Brian?
The downside of men being policemen?
That's why I asked you to answer my question.
I'm trying to get the right answer here. I feel like I'm on Congress and it's January 6th.
You didn't answer my question.
What are you asking me? What's the downside of men?
Let him answer. Brian, please answer succinctly.
What is the downside of women? I don't know what the question is.
Oh, jeez.
See, I thought I was clear. Maybe you could phrase it to him. I know you understand it, Mrs. Lusions.
The downside to women being on the police force, Brian?
The downside of women, in my opinion,
is there a downside?
Of course there's a downside.
What is it?
Well, downside physically, I don't think a woman can handle somebody belligerent who is getting aggressive towards her, and she's easily overpowered. I think also their training is that it's not as rough as a man. They kind of lower the score a little bit. But as far as her going in and there's a dispute or there's a domestic problem, it seems like she could be overpowered very easily and not taken as seriously, and she doesn't have the authoritative voice. A lot of people say to the police department, your first weapon is your voice and how you use your voice to de-escalate certain situation. I'm not a police officer, but this is what I hear. That's my answer.
Thank you, Brian. You answered the question. See how easy that was?
What question?
That's exactly what I'm looking for. I got an answer. Now, I don't totally agree with it. I mostly agree with it, but you did answer it. Thank you.
Brian,
you
got
to go, guys.
You get a cookie. But
I love
cookies.
I love the cookies. My 12-step program, I got two. All right, everybody. We got to go.
All right. Well, everybody have a wonderful. What is this?
Where are we at? Wednesday? Is this Wednesday?
Normally don't come on until Friday, Brian. You've got to show up more, my friend.
We haven't listened to Melissa. I want to go out listening to a nice little beautiful voice, Melissa. Please send us out, Melissa.
Oh, it was enjoyable to listen to you guys.
Brian, when are you coming on again?
Melissa was just said four words. Jesus.
Brian, when are you coming on again?
No. Listen. I've been quiet today. I've got a terrible cold.
Oh.
That these little babies gave me. Quiet today.
No.
Pray for me. I'm kidding.
I will.
And we're also
Dear Father in heaven.
Cold. Terrible.
I don't want to bother you, but Melissa has a cold. I know there's people dying of cancer, and you're saving lives, but can you put that on hold for a minute? Melissa has a cold.
I am a very busy person, okay?
I don't need a cold.
Brian, when are you coming on again, you old goat?
I know,
That's
but we got to pray for Melissa.
Times,
Melissa,
Brian.
I hope you get better, baby. I really do.
Oh,
when am I coming back?
Thank you.
You're welcome. When am I coming back again?
Goat.
I'm coming back
goat.
On. Oh, no. Tomorrow I can't. Tomorrow
You're the
I can't
goat,
again.
Brian.
I am the goat. Greatest of all times. Try to find
That's
a
That's right.
Like
Go
that.
Ahead, goat.
Indeed.
Yeah.
When are you coming on again, goat?
Thursday. Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Okay. Now, is that ironclad scene?
Yes, that is Ironclad. And, you know,
okay.
I heard
right.
that a lot of shows are giving away shit and money and shit. I think, you know, I decided that we're going to be giving away some shit. So tomorrow, my girlfriend says that she's throwing shit away in our yard sale. So I'm going to give that away. And so you guys take I know.
Leave Brian to give us leftovers.
You're going to give us crap.
That
Bring
old
some
black and white TV with the...
I'm thinking positively.
5 years?
Yeah, you got some old shit. You got some stuff that's going back to 1970. It's a classic. All right, guys.
Hey, take all your money out of SVB.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, nobody
has
money.
I think Wells Fargo is having problems.
Nobody has money.
They're going the way of the Silicon Valley Bank. A lot of them are
Wells Fargo is having problems, too, by the way.
Yeah, I put my money in my
They're going woke and they're going broke.
That's right.
They're going woke and broke.
Let me tell you this.
7,000 employees. Ask Disney about
SVB did have a woke risk manager, but they did not have an asset risk manager. So that may tell you something right there. They were more into wokeness, which helps their going brokenness.
Sure enough.
Everything's going to be just okay. Don't worry about it. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
No, I'm going to see I'll see you Thursday.
Bye.
I'll see you Thursday. Bye. Thanks for coming in.